prepare yourselves for Ethan and Aaron's Confessions of a Movie Snob, the ongoing discussion of film genres.
Welcome to the podcast. I'm Aaron. With me is Ethan.
Howdy.
Howdy. How are you?
I'm going to reverse the polarity of the neutron flow.
I have no idea what that means. But hey, we are recording. Once again, we're not wearing headphones. You know what that means? It's just us.
It is 2 weeks in a row, you have to sit through just me and Aaron bantering back and forth.
Sometimes we're kind of funny, though, I've noticed.
Sometimes we think we're funny.
Well, but, I mean, since we're our only listeners.
Then, hey, we at least have 10 people that listen,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah. Well, no. People that we got 10 people that are like have something to do with our Facebook feed or Twitter feed or something
That's true.
But all that aside, we don't have a guest this week. I never set one up because it occurred to us, I don't remember if we were on the show or after the show, that we haven't done our Oscar spectacular this year.
We've talked a lot about it.
We've talked a lot about it generally, but we haven't talked much about it specifically other than...
I think so far our listeners can know that we hate Tree of Life and like The Artist, and that's about it so far.
Yeah, and you know, we're happy that Gary Oldman's nominated, but we're going to get down to the nitty-gritty nuts and bolts, so we're actually going to go over the ballot just... You know, category by category, what we think is going to win, what we think should win, all kinds of stuff like that. It'll be fun. But before we get into any of that, we have a little segment that we like to call
Geekly Happenings, news that's relevant to us geeks, featuring reactions by Aaron.
Ethan, what has happened this week?
What is news relevant to us geeks?
First
thing I've got is, you know, they've been working on a reboot of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles for quite some time. Jonathan Liebsman, apparently, is now attached to it. Paramount, Nickelodeon, and Platinum Dunes have teamed for a reboot on Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. They announced that back in 2010. Jonathan Liebsman, who directed the upcoming Wrath of the Titans and Battle Los Angeles, is in talks to direct.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I believe this Jonathan Liebsman is the same fellow that has brought us such classics as Darkness Falls, I think. Don't quote me on that. If you want to fact check me, go ahead.
I don't care.
There you go. Previously,
I also don't care about a Ninja Turtles movie. So
yeah, well, you know, I like TMNT. That animated one wasn't bad.
No, it wasn't bad, but you know,
it was what it was. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
It's a nostalgia thing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not going to be as good as.
Well, I liked the 2002 new animated series they did. Was actually really.
There's
good.
Some neat stuff about it.
But previously, Iron Man writers Art Markham and Matt Holloway were assigned to draft the project with Mission Impossible Ghost Protocol's Josh Applebaum and Andrew Nemec taking over last year. It's unknown whether or not they performed a page one rewrite or if they updated the Markham and Holloway draft. So Jonathan Liebsman is attached, at least that's what Variety is rumoring, I suppose, for some more Ninja Turtles. So hey,
well, great. Good. I hope it's good.
Yeah, you know. And, of course, in the world of remakes and reboots, there's apparently a remake of Hitchcock's Suspicion in the works.
Oh, really?
Hitchcock's 1941 film Suspicion is getting a remake treatment courtesy of Paramount, who has hired Vina Sud, executive producer and showrunner for AMC's The Killing, to adapt the film, which was based on Francis Iles' 1932 novel Before the Fact. This will be the first feature film writing gig for Sud, whose adaptation of the Danish drama series The Killing for AMC was big enough to hit to warrant a second season, which airs on April 1st. I have never even heard of The Killing, so it's on AMC, so it's probably good.
Oh, The Killing? Yeah, mm-hmm. I've heard of that.
I have not, so.
Yeah.
But I don't watch a lot of TV. And we are, of course, getting Transformers 4.
Kinda, yeah.
No, officially, we are getting
Transformers 4. I thought it was a reboot.
No, okay. It's Transformers 4.
Okay, well, that makes a lot more sense.
The studio announced a release date for June 27th, 2014 for Transformers 4 and Michael Bay, following up on a story about that Transformers 4 release date, added the following, that there's been a lot of speculation about what he's doing, what he's going to do next, or whether if he will do another Transformers, so he wanted to set the record straight. He said, "I've just concluded a deal with Paramount to do two movies, but it won't be two Transformers. I will first do Pain and Gain with Mark Wahlberg and Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Then I will do the next Transformers for release on June 27th, 2014. To reiterate, producer Lorenzo de Bonaventura told us earlier that we are going to, that, quote, we're going to try to do a hybrid where there will be some characters that come forward. We think we're still in the process of figuring it out, and some characters that don't, but it will definitely be a different story. So I guess it is a sequel. We're not going to see all the same characters from the previous movies. I would really bet they're not going to bring back Shia LaBeouf and probably go in a different new direction with it would be fine with me.
The I don't care. I mean,
I know you don't, but the Transformers movies are the Transformers movies.
If I were Michael Bay, I would make the fuck out of Transformers 4. Oh, yeah. Those movies make money.
Make ridiculous amounts of money.
I don't personally care. I never really had any nostalgia for the show, and sure. I didn't particularly like the first one and the second one. I've seen bits and pieces, and I didn't see anything that made me say, I really want to see this.
I enjoy it. I enjoy the movies for what they are. I mean, mm-hmm. they're giant robots beating the crap out of each other. What I mean, they're not high art. It's not Othello. Mm-hmm. It's giant robots beating the crap out of each other. It's what it is. It's what it purports to be, and it's nothing else.
Yeah, I mean, I think that this will be the falling off point, I think. You know, I mean, maybe this one won't make a ton of money.
If it's like the Pirates franchise, it just keeps raking in money.
Yeah, people bitch about it every step of the way and go.
But they're going to keep making them because it. I forget what the most recent one made.
It was a lot of money.
Ridiculous.
I think it was like the second or third highest grossing movie of the year.
And if it keeps raking in money like that, they're going to keep making it.
Yeah.
So. Quite frankly,
I just don't care because I won't see it.
You know, you have these people out there that bitch and moan about it, but I was like, well, okay, the people that bitch and moan about it apparently are still seeing the movie because the movies are getting tons of money.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not bitching and moaning about it because I haven't seen them. That, you know, that's my bitching and moaning is no,
and you know, they're not for everybody. No. I mean, they're we said it before. They're Ethan movies.
Yeah.
But we do like Guillermo del Toro.
Sure do.
Quite a bit. Apparently, his name's been attached to a lot of different stuff coming out.
Yeah.
I know for one, he's been really wanting to get financing and get a feature film version of the H.P. Lovecraft story at the Mountains of Madness.
Right.
That's like his dream job, and goddamn it, he needs to get that funding. Because it was all set, and then the funding fell through again. So it's sort of his Lost in La Mancha thing.
It's happened twice that I know of.
And that sucks, because he would be the one I'd want to do it right. But right now, he is sort
Beauty
of attached.
Beast, right?
Yeah, attached to Beauty and the Beast. It's landed apparently at Warner Brothers, and according to an update at Variety, Del Toro is now planning to direct as well as produce with Andrew Davies, who did The Three Musketeers and Bridget Jones's Diary, providing the screenplay. They've also confirmed a report that Emma Watson, who of course was Hermione Granger, is likely to headline. So
she's going to play the Beauty or the Beast?
I think the Beast would be an
interesting. I think she's beautiful.
You know, thing. So. Del Toro's next film is a film called Pacific Rim. It's now in production with a cast that includes Charlie Hunnam, Idris Elba, one of Aaron's favorites.
Idris
Elba, I like him.
If it's a black character coming up, I pretty much want Idris Elba to play him.
Yeah, I need to watch that Luther.
It's a good show. I'd love to yell and scream about reboots and shit, but I'd love to see a reboot of Blade with fucking Idris Elba's Blade.
Yeah,
that
you mentioned
rule.
The show the other week.
That would rule.
I'd be fine with it.
It'd be really cool.
I think, and Idris Elba's been in a couple. I mean, obviously he's been in Thor. He is in the new Ghost Rider movie.
Thor 2.
So, yeah, Thor 2. So, you know, hey, he seems to like his comic books. Oh, and he did The Losers. That was a comic book adaptation. But it's also got Charlie Day, Rinko Kikuchi, Max Martini, Willem Dafoe, Robert Kaczynski, Clifton Collins Jr., Diego Klattenhoff, and Ron Perlman in it.
Cool.
Of course, it's got Ron Perlman in it.
I was going to say.
It's a Guillermo del Toro movie.
Guillermo del Toro's doing Beauty and the Beast. I mean,
he's got to put Ron Perlman in there somewhere.
But
because he loves working with him. We love Ron Perlman.
But as the Beast, it should be. But since the TV show, that'd just be wrong somehow. But
well, you know, George R. R. Martin worked on that TV show.
Did he?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
George R. R. Martin did a lot of work in Hollywood until a lot of his stuff sat and languished and didn't do anything. That was one of the big things he did that did work. He was big on that show.
I wasn't a big fan of it, but I was also seven or eight.
George
when it
R.
came
Martin
out
from Game of Thrones.
Yeah,
the guy wrote those awesome books.
Yeah.
Apparently, Beauty and the Beast project are still under, you know, it's still under development and whatnot. But Del Toro is going to provide a treatment that Davies will work from, so, which I think is pretty standard for the way he does things.
Because
I mean, he did a treatment and worked on The Hobbit before he left it. So
Del Toro,
which I think makes me even more excited for Hobbit. Honestly.
Oh yeah.
I mean, it's interesting. To get me interested to see that movie, to see how it shapes up, because obviously Jackson's directing it, and sort of think of what it would have been if Del Toro directed it, you know?
I wonder if he still has any credit.
I think he does.
Like in terms...
I seem to think he does. I think what he's still on as at least a producer credit, I
what
think.
Is the most recent thing he's done?
Gosh, I don't know. I really don't know.
Well, you don't need to look it up. But that's what my thing is. He left The Hobbit because, you know, it was in development hell. Yeah. And then he hasn't done anything.
Well, he's been working on this, the Pacific Rim, I guess. It's whatever his contract would do, really.
Yeah.
His name's been attached to a ton of stuff.
Oh, sure.
I think not just director stuff. I mean, he's doing script writing and all that crazy shit. So.
All right.
One of your favorite directors, one of mine too, actually, Michael Mann.
Sweet.
Is going to help work on a. Is going to direct another thing. Columbia Pictures, The Big Stone Grid, announced Michael Mann as its director.
What happened to his movie about the DeLorean and the Ferrari guy? Remember, it had a really, really long title, and there's talk about that.
No, it wasn't the DeLorean. It's the,
I know,
it's
a Ferrari or Lamborghini or some shit.
Ferrari and Maserati or whatever.
Yeah.
I'm guessing that that's what he's going to... That this is what he's going to do after he does that.
Gotcha.
Because Michael Mann signed to bring the S. Craig Zahler spec script to the big screen. The present-day crime thriller focuses on two detectives who uncover a gruesome extortion ring operating in New York City. The article says that Mann himself is expected to do a rewrite alongside Zahler, and that the setting of the film could be relocated to Los Angeles, because he really likes setting his stuff in L.A.
Yeah.
I mean, he did Collateral, yeah. So,
Love I like Collateral. I like Collateral a lot, yeah.
I think it was on the Bagdon Broadcast, we talked a bit Ghostbusters 3 and how Bill Murray was apparently Captain Dickhead.
I don't remember if we talked about it.
Well, apparently that there's been some debunking on that.
Okay.
Roughly 6 months after dropping significant plot details, Dan Aykroyd had an update about Ghostbusters 3 and the likelihood of both Bill Murray and Rick Moranis returning. Speaking with Empire, the actor hints that the former could end up being played by a different actor altogether. Bill Murray, the Venkman character. We communicate frequently, and his position on the involvement in Ghostbusters 3 has been made clear, and I respect that, says Aykroyd, who the magazine also claims suggested a possible Jack Ryan-style recasting. Aykroyd seems a bit more optimistic about Rick Moranis. Rick Moranis' potential return as Louis Tully.
Oh, Rick Moranis?
Yeah.
You're saying Rick Moranis was here in Harold Ramis.
No, Rick Moranis.
That would be awesome.
Mm-hmm. Even though the actor has been retired from show business for 15 years. If we can get a script to Ghostbusters 3 right, then it would be definitely it would definitely have Moranis as a major component. None of us would want the movie without having him as a participant. I really don't see this movie getting made.
Probably not. Not without Bill Murray.
He also addressed the whole rumor about how Bill Murray shredded the script and returned it to him that way, and he said that didn't happen. Bill Murray's got enough respect for him as a writer that he wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
Things like that. So
I still think Bill Murray's a jerk, but I'm not going to fault him for not wanting to do Ghostbusters 3. I want to see Ghostbusters 3. I mean, I don't know. I want to see it. Because I'm just so fond of the original.
I just don't see it happening. I just don't see it congealing. I just don't see it happening at this point.
They need to have like Dan Aykroyd and Harold Ramis and Ernie Hudson in a cameo and get killed off, and they get and the beginning of the goddamn movie, and then they get taken over by the Apatow crew.
Having them killed off though, it seems a bit too serious for the Ghostbusters. You know,
have them come back as like crazy looking Slimer type ghosts, and they can be fun.
I don't see any of this happening.
I don't either.
So, I don't know. It'd be like them remaking Gremlins. You know, I don't see the point.
Gremlins 3D.
Woohoo! Yes, Gremlins 3D! Although, you know, where do you go after Gremlins 2?
Gremlins 3D.
Hey.
Yeah, that's where you go.
Hey, as long as they can get Christopher Lee back, I'm happy.
Done. Dr. Cather.
Yes. And we do love the artist.
We do.
Apparently so did BAFTA.
Yes, they fucking did.
Yes. BAFTA is Orange British, the British Academy, gave
British
out their BAFTA.
Academy Film and Television. Yep. It's like the kind of like the British Oscars, but I think it's more appropriately the British Golden Globes.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
Well, they don't televise this at all, the BAFTAs.
They don't televise it?
Not
yeah,
here.
Yeah, they do.
They do here?
Yeah.
Mm-mm, I never.
Yeah.
I should watch them.
It's on like BBC and shit.
I'll have to keep track of it.
I watched What's-His-Face's Fellowship Acceptance Speech, John Hurt.
Nice.
It was on YouTube. It's pretty cool.
Let's see. The artist won 7 awards, including top prize for best film, director, original screenplay, and Jean Dorjean took the prize for leading actor. Meryl Streep won for leading actress for a performance as Margaret Thatcher in The Iron Lady.
At the BAFTAs, get the fuck out
of
here.
I know, imagine that.
Yeah.
Octavia Spencer and Christopher Plummer continued their winning streaks in supporting categories. The adaptation of Jean Le Carré's Tinker, Tailor, Soldier, Spy won 2 awards, one for outstanding British film and the other for its adapted screenplay.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway,
that's a little bit of
a good fucking movie.
Real good movie. Got a little bit more steam behind it.
It's getting some recognition. That's great.
Yeah.
I've said I really want this to be a foot in the door for Oldman. Mm-hmm. So yeah, you know, makes me wonder about the supporting actor category this year. So
supporting actor?
Mm-hmm. With
I have no doubt.
Plummer has a lot of steam behind him.
Yeah, I think he's going to win. I don't think there's any two ways about it myself.
So, but we'll talk about that.
Yeah.
We also recently talked vampire movies, and we talked about, you know, Dracula and how there's this cycle of, you know,
shittiness.
Because like in the early 90s we got a new Dracula, and then we got Dracula 2000, which was fucking horrible. But now it's
Rutger Hauer as Dracula, right?
Oh no, it was Gerard Butler.
Oh, that's right.
It was awful.
It was Dracula 3 that Rutger Hauer played Dracula.
Yeah.
Anyway. Dracula 2000 Part 3 or whatever, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, Universal Pictures is reviving Dracula Year Zero.
Okay.
Deadline reports that Universal Studios is negotiating with Gary Shore to direct Dracula Year Zero, which previously had Alex Proyas attached to direct and Sam Worthington as the lead.
Oh, God.
The movie has
Sam
been...
Worthington as Dracula?
Apparently. The movie's been described as follows. Dracula Year Zero explores the origin of Dracula, weaving vampire mythology with the true history of Prince Vlad the Impaler. It seeks to depict Dracula as a flawed hero in a tragic story set in the dark age of magic and war. Matt Sazma and Burke Sharpless have written a new draft of the screenplay, and Michael De Luca continues as the project as producer.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds really stupid to me.
Yeah, I don't have any interest in that. More power to them, but
yeah.
I mean, why?
Is what you get when you get something that's public domain.
Yeah, I mean,
you get crappy Three Musketeers movies, and you get crappy Dracula movies.
I mean, it's telling the story of Dracula up to the point of when he turns interesting.
Yeah, pretty much.
Boring.
And, I mean, I would Bram Stoker's Dracula because it does depict a little bit of the whole Vlad thing,
watch,
and then it's interesting.
I would watch a well-made Vlad the Impaler biopic if. I would watch that.
You know who I'd love to see Guillermo del Toro tackle it. Honestly,
why not?
We were just talking about him, but that'd be pretty cool to see his take on it on Dracula, just with his art design.
Oh sure,
and shit.
Oh sure.
I mean, fuck,
that'd be cool. I don't know if you have it in your little news, and I wasn't even thinking about it until you brought it up. But did you see that Alex Proyas's Paradise Lost got killed?
No, I didn't see that.
Thank Christ.
Yes, it was an action film.
Yeah, I was. I've been mocking
with,
that Bradley Cooper as Lucifer.
Okay,
and
is he back on the Crow now?
I don't know
because he left it to do.
He's gonna be in probably something.
Okay,
but I was looking. I was actually like reading about it a couple of days before the story broke, and of course Rufus Sewell is in it
because
he's in everything that's like that. If you get my drift.
Yeah. He was also in Proyas's The Dark City.
Yeah.
Which
and
was back in Proyas was good.
And I saw who was playing Michael, and I did not like it at all. And I know
Cooper was going to be Lucifer.
Yeah. Bradley Cooper is going to be Lucifer, and the person who was going to play Michael. Joaquin Phoenix. Was going to play Michael.
That might have been interesting because he's good. But
yeah, but I don't know. I mean,
he hasn't really pulled out this "I am an awesome actor" thing since
he's good.
Johnny Cash.
He's real good. Yeah, he's real good. But yeah, that got killed and good. Unfortunately,
yeah.
I've read the book. It's a cool book. kind of preachy, but
you think?
but as an action movie, it would just be mercilessly ridiculed and mocked and good.
Yeah,
and what was funny.
I don't know what the hell's been up with Proyas lately. I mean, ever since Dark City, he's just been doing. I mean, he did iRobot, which was at least entertaining, but...
It's the crow curse, I guess.
Dark City was awesome.
I like Dark City,
But after that, I mean, God, what was the last thing I remember seeing him do was fucking Knowing? That was awful. With Nicolas Cage? It was so bad.
You got your news story about Nicolas Cage? It's not particularly news.
Oh, about how he's a
vampire? Huh? No, not that. That was fucking funny.
Did you see how he responded to it?
No. What'd he say? Yes.
Because he was on Letterman, and they showed him the picture on Letterman, and he goes, okay, I'm going to address this right now. First of all, you can't take pictures of vampires. There is a picture.
Well.
I'm on TV.
That's
And I don't drink from people's necks. I don't eat from people's necks.
Well,
that's just gross.
Good for Nicolas Cage. I never saw any sense of humor in that man in my life.
It is an uncanny picture, though. It looks
a lot like him. And what was funny was I actually, I posted on Facebook because I thought it was funny, and they're actually, turned into a real discussion. And I'm like, are you guys out of your fucking mind? I mean, I ended up...
Oh, I was joking all the time.
I know that, but somebody wasn't.
Yeah, it was. We've had him on the show, Chris Parent.
Yeah, he was dead-ass. I left the conversation off my own Facebook page. I'm like, this is ridiculous. But yeah, no, the Nicolas Cage thing I was talking about, it's not really news, but it's a revelation. It's that he was going to play the Scarecrow in Joel Schumacher's Batman... What was that going to be called? Retaliation or something, some word.
Yeah.
Batman something. And
Batman nipples, okay.
And it was funny because this is like, everyone's like, holy God, that's a horrible fucking idea. And maybe it is. But this was 1999 Nicolas Cage, not 2012 Nicolas Cage.
Yeah.
I could have seen it. And I do remember back in the days.
That was also when he was being tossed around for Superman.
Yeah. I mean, if there's a superhero movie, his name comes up.
Iron Man, Superman, all that.
Yeah. Yeah. But my thing about it is, back in the day before I was nearly as smart and dignified and stuff as I am, and I would do my little casting couches, Nicolas Cage was my choice for Scarecrow in, 1999.
Yeah. No, he would have been fine back
then.
Yeah,
now, probably not, and I thought Cillian Murphy did a really good job, but...
Yeah, no, he
did. I don't think it's an idea that's worth the ridicule and shit that
it's
gotten.
And I've kind of lightened up on Schumacher because of his attitude.
Yeah.
Because he's made public apologies about Batman and Robin.
More than he's owed.
Oh, yeah, no. Yeah, and do I want him directing another Batman? No.
Where are Tim Burton's Batman apologies?
Yeah, exactly.
Where are those?
Well, he won't do it because he's Tim Burton.
You know, I don't even want to go there.
It's interesting, though, with those early Batman movies is you have those two different groups. You have the Schumacher movies, you have the Burton movies, and people oppose and hate the Schumacher movies and revere the Burton movies.
I think that they're both equally...
They're different types of movies.
They deserve their ridicule, and I suppose the Nolan ones do to a certain degree. Mm-hmm. If you're a, I'm trying to be diplomatic. Oh no, if you are a stupid, person with no attention span whatsoever, and you just want Joel Schumacher shit,
you want nipples on bat suit,
and you want nipples on bat suits, then I can see you not liking it. Other than that, no.
Yeah. The guys come out and apologize for it. You know, and he wants to do he really would like to do a director's cut.
They won't let him.
The third movie, but the Warner Brothers won't let him.
The third or the fourth?
The third. Forever, Batman Forever.
I have a soft spot in my head for Batman Forever. I know it's not a good movie, but I have a soft spot in my head for it.
I've always wanted to. I have the first Batman movie on the special edition DVD. It's really good extra features on it, and I've always wanted to see the extra features on the second, third, and fourth movies, but I've never been able to find them, and I don't want to go out and fucking buy them
just expensive.
To watch the extra features.
Well, they had that really nice Blu-ray
set. I don't know anyone that owns them, so I'm like, okay.
I'm not going to buy them. I mean, I had that Man and Robin one.
I mean, if we ever talk about the extra features on DVDs as some of our favorites, there's the awesome documentary on the history of Batman on the first set is really cool, and the thing is, it's a multi-part one. They cut it up over the next. So I've only seen the first part, and it's really good. And like,
it's in that Blu-ray set. I mean, maybe just keep an ear out for that relatively cheap or used.
I mean,
I just don't want it. I mean, I had the special edition of Batman and Robin. I found it for dumbass cheap. And mm-hmm. I watched all the special feature stuff, and it made. And I have never, ever, ever, ever been a militant fuck Batman and Robin person ever. Sure. But it actually lightened me to a certain degree, where I get what he was trying to do.
Well, sort of, for me, it's like Alien 3.
I get the thing with the nipples. I get it. It failed, but I get it.
Alien 3 is. I want to know the story about how the movie got made, because that would be interesting to me.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like, how did this go wrong? Essentially,
I'm wondering why. I mean, when it comes to Batman and Robin, I'm wondering why people are so surprised to Batman and Robin. But especially when you look at Batman Forever and. But fuck that, looking at Batman and Batman Returns. I mean, there's an obvious progression happening mm-hmm. there.
Yeah.
And I don't see how people are so just...
I don't know. I got nothing.
I don't get it.
But oddly, my next news thing has to do with Michael Keaton, who was Batman.
Okay.
He apparently had an official meeting about Beetlejuice 2.
Right on.
Seth Graham Smith, who I think is the screenwriter.
Yeah, he's the Abraham Lincoln vampire hunter guy. And did, yeah.
He apparently
said that
Tim Burton will shepherd it. He is writing Beetlejuice 2, and they have met.
What does shepherd mean? Produce?
He's shepherding, yes. It's sort of, I got nothing. It's sort of like, you know, Nolan and Superman. He's shepherding it.
Well, he's producing
he's
it.
Mentoring, yes. Yeah. So, yeah, they've met with him at least. Could be like, hi, will you do Beetlejuice 2? No.
Or so it could be like, will you do Beetlejuice 2? I don't know. Okay. How's the calamari here? You know?
Exactly.
And that's the meeting, yeah.
So, I mean, that essentially was the gist of the news piece. Mm-hmm. It was like, oh, hey, they met him. Anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, thanks, guys.
You know, I mean, I would
the be... The news is, there is no news.
Yeah. I would be interested to see Beetlejuice 2 with Michael Keaton.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I mean, if without him, I don't care.
Yeah.
At all.
I haven't watched Beetlejuice in forever.
I just watched... It's on Netflix, I think.
Oh, is it?
And I love that movie.
Did you ever see the movie Legion with Paul Bettany?
I was just thinking about that when I was talking about A Paradise Lost, yeah. Uh-huh.
I liked it.
It was all right. It was better than I thought it was going to be.
Way better than Priest.
Oh, God, yeah. That was not good.
But I liked Legion. I found a cheap-ass Blu-ray of it. It was like, okay, I enjoyed it enough. Well, apparently they're developing it into a TV series on Sci-Fi.
Cool. Oh.
Well, it's on Sci-Fi. So, there you go.
That's happened to me before. I was like, cool. Oh, shit, Sci-Fi.
Yeah. But apparently this also does mention that Paul Bettany and Adrian Palicki, who were in the original movie, were signed for two sequels.
Oh, yeah?
But I really doubt they're going to
get
those.
They didn't do that
made,
well.
So, but I liked the movie.
It was all right. Yeah.
You know,
I've seen
what it was.
I've seen worse things.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, Priest being one of them. But and Russell Crowe's name is being thrown around for everything. Apparently.
Yeah.
I mean, first he was RoboCop, and then he's like, no.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently, it's being rumored or announced at Warner Brothers that a movie, another Dracula movie, called Harker.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Is planned to offer a new take on the Dracula mythos. The lead is said to be... they are being said to have signed or close to signing Russell Crowe
as
Harker.
That doesn't work.
I got nothing.
I mean, I'm not speaking towards Russell Crowe's acting abilities. I'm mm-hmm. speaking towards the age there.
Yeah.
I mean, unless they're gonna make Van Helsing like
this.
Unless they're gonna cast Christopher Lee as Van Helsing.
The director is Jaume Collet Serra, who did Unknown and Orphan.
Maybe it's gonna be like a Van Helsing kind of thing, where it's an advanced Harker. I could see mm-hmm. that. But he was young.
Here's what it is. The script arrives as a spec from Lee Shipman and Brian McGreevy, who also attached to a movie called Pendragon.
Mm-hmm.
It is said to relocate Stoker's tale to England, where Jonathan Harker is tracking the monster on behalf of Scotland Yard.
Kind of sounds like Van Helsing.
Yeah, still far
I would
from
watch
signed.
That.
Yeah, still far from signed. Crowe would fit the project after a number of diverse upcoming roles. So, two Dracula things there, and honestly, we talked a little bit of Hammer Horror last episode.
Uh-huh.
I'm curious as to when they're going to try their hand at another Dracula. And if they do, they better hurry, because they can get Christopher Lee as a cameo in there. You know, it would be nice.
Yeah,
the crazy innkeeper or wagon driver or something, you know. That would be great.
The wagon driver would be cool, but they need to have whoever plays Dracula play the wagon driver, because that's how they've traditionally done it. They did it in the 31. It was Bella and the Francis Ford Coppola's one. It was Gary Oldman, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But
I haven't watched the Gary Oldman in a long time.
It's a good movie. Didn't you buy it?
Yeah, I found a... It's the crappy DVD, but I found it for on clearance for like a dollar.
I wouldn't pay a dollar for it because it's a double-sided DVD. Hate those.
I'll watch it and then
flip it over.
Chuck it in the...
Throw it at the wall.
Throw it at the wall.
Yeah.
Use it as a coaster. Let's see. Patton Oswalt looks likely to play a supporting role in the Secret Life of Walter Mitty remake.
I like Patton Oswalt. About.
So, yeah. So, I like Patton Oswalt. What else has Patton Oswalt done then?
He's a comedian.
Okay. Yeah. Was he the Ratatouille guy?
Yes. Okay. He was Remy. I would have never gotten there, but yeah. He was nominated for a Golden Globe for something. It's best supporting in something. And
comedians can act.
Sure. Sure.
You for the most part.
Some of them.
Speaking of awesome,
actors can act.
Awesome actors and comedian Billy Connolly is in The Hobbit. Did you hear about this yet?
Maybe.
They just announced it last week, but...
And tell me who, and I might remember this.
Billy Connolly is joining the cast of The Hobbit. The announcement was made by Jackson, who is obviously directing the new one, and he did the other ones. Connolly, who is...
I've never heard of anybody refer to The Lord of the Rings as the other ones.
The other ones.
Awesome.
Connolly will play Dane Ironfoot, a great dwarf warrior and cousin of Thorin Oakenshield.
Right, Dane. Yeah.
Hey, you know, I get to see Brian Connolly in a movie again. I'm happy. I love
Billy Connolly.
He's so funny.
He'd be a good dwarf. I mean, for what we have established in those other ones.
Oh yeah.
I mean, like
I love Billy Connolly.
I do too. That bombastic over the topness.
Oh yeah. Well, he really reminds me of Brian Blessed. Yeah. Scottish.
Fucking love Brian Blessed's Irish, isn't he?
He might be. I don't know.
He's Great English, British though, of some sort.
Yeah. But I mean.
Fuck yeah.
I love Billy Connolly.
I do too.
Okay, we didn't talk about it, but you mentioned that you were upset we didn't talk about it, and then we forgot to talk about it in the next show, was before Watchmen.
Ah, right, yes.
This has nothing to do with movies.
No.
But
hopefully.
DC Comics, it was like the worst kept secret in comic books that they were putting out a prequel comics to Watchmen.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's a Night Owl story.
Suck Spectre, Dr. Manhattan, Rorschach, et cetera.
Yeah. Well, they haven't announced what the Rorschach one is yet.
No, they got last covers for all of them.
They haven't shown a cover for... Well, they have shown an image, but it isn't a cover.
Oh, okay.
And they haven't said, but the one I looked at was... I'm at least intrigued by is the Night Owl one. I think Night Owl and one of the other ones. Because they're also doing Minutemen.
Yeah.
And I think those are the two that are written by J. Michael Straczynski, who I like as a comic book writer. Man, people got all pissed off about that. I mean, of course, Alan Moore came out and was like...
Threw poop.
Threw poop at people.
Screamed.
And fist pumped at his supporters, you know, and I'm like... Okay.
Yeah, that dude is so fucking...
Frankly, DC owns the rights, so...
Unabomber shit going on there.
But, you know, the Straczynski one, it's Straczynski, and I know one of the artists working on it is the guy who did 1602. That artist. John Romita Jr.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, so it's going to look good. Yeah. And with Straczynski on, I think it'll look written well.
You know, I don't care. I mean, I say that so much in the show, but I just don't care. I don't care about The Watchmen. I certainly don't care about a prequel. I'm neither offended nor pleased by this concept. But people did get pissed.
People were like, fucking wanting to lynch people over this. I'm like, okay, guys,
don't buy it, for the love of God. Where is that option? I've always wondered that. Like, fuck this movie.
Well, it's that whole, you're raping my childhood thing. First of all, if you were a child when you were reading The Watchmen, the hell?
Yeah.
I'm sort of with you. It's like, if you don't like it, don't buy it.
Yeah.
It doesn't. The only person who's letting it ruin their childhood is you.
Mm-hmm.
See what I'm going here?
Yeah.
If you think Star Wars ruined your childhood, the new Star Wars movies ruined your childhood, don't watch them.
Your childhood sucked.
Don't buy them. Just get the ones you like.
Speaking of ruining your childhood, I have a little piece of news.
Oh, okay. Hey.
So, this is something that I'm starting to really enjoy this shit a lot. I'm liking this. It's a George Lucas news story.
Okay.
So, you guys can fast forward if you don't want to listen to me again about this. But I like this new direction George Lucas is taking with himself. It's where I've been for 10 years.
Yeah.
A petulant child. About this kind of stuff.
Uh-huh.
The name of the article, the title of the article is Han Never Shot First, Lucas says.
I didn't read it, but I saw the headline.
If you've held firm to the belief for the past 15 years or the past 35 years the Han shot first, George Lucas wants you to know that you're wrong and maybe a little dense and filled with bloodlust. A reference to the scene in Star Wars Episode 4, New Hope, in which Han Solo was confronted by the bounty hunter Greedo, Han shot first became the rallying cry for films upset by the controversial change to the movie's 1997 re-release. In the original version, Solo stealthily shoots Greedo. Okay, George appears to shoot Greedo, who dies without firing a shot. In the modified edition, the bounty hunter shoots first but somehow misses, and then Han returns fire. But Lucas, and I like this line, who lately seems to take devilish delight in trolling Star Wars fans, awesome, now says that Han never shot first. Never. The controversy over who shot first, Greedo or Han, in Episode 4, what I did was to try to clean up the confusion, but obviously it upset people because they wanted Solo, quotations here, or excuse me, parentheses, who seemed to be the one who shot first in the original, to be a cold-blooded killer. But he isn't, actually, Lucas tells the Hollywood Reporter. It had been done in all close-ups, and it was confusing about who did what to whom. I put a little wilder shot in there to make it clear that Greedo's the one who shot first. Everyone wanted to think that Han shot first because they wanted to think that he was actually just gunned him down. So there. If you only wanted Harrison Ford's rakish smuggler to be a murderer that you interpreted in the cantina scene the way you did for all these years, it's your fault, you bloodthirsty fanboys. And wonder why Lucas isn't making any more Star Wars movies. Or maybe you don't. Okay.
I love it. That's so awesome.
Okay, and you know me. Oh. I go to message
George
boards.
Lucas just moved up several pegs. That's fantastic.
You know me in my relationship with message boards. This one I read in delight. Uh-huh. Because I know damn well that Greedo never shot first until 1997. I like the fact that either he's fucking with people, which is awesome, or it's true, which is fine, or he's crazy, which is fine. And I just love this shit. This new chapter in George Lucas where he's going out of his way to piss people off.
Yes, this is great.
It's probably going to get to the point where he alienates me, but it hasn't happened. Like, Tyler, our friend, like, the only person who's as much of a Lucas apologist as me calls this bullshit. And, like, the general consensus on the message boards is, well, if Greedo shot first, then how come it doesn't say so?
You and Tyler in the same room with the recorder, put that in front of you, and I just need to sit there and laugh my ass off.
I don't see. Here's my.
I can see Tyler getting all bent out of shape.
My thing about it is, I don't care.
And I can see you not caring and arguing with.
Well, I mean, I would
just
love
for
to
the
just,
sake of.
I'd love to be pissing him off. But the thing about it is, the thing that everyone's pointing to is the screenplay is out. The screenplay says that Han shoots without Greedo shooting at all. Uh-huh. And everyone says, well, that's definitive that he's just making shit up and he's full of it. I ask, what about on screen? Or, excuse me, on set changes,
yeah,
things like that, blah, 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 blah. I don't care. I think it's funny, because he's obviously, if nothing else, he's trying to piss people off, which is awesome.
You know, if he says it, fuck, I'm fine with it at this point.
Did you read that article I pointed you to last night? The four things that everybody, that Star Wars fans need to accept about George Lucas?
No.
That was
fucking
funny. I
don't remember getting
that. No, I told you about it. I didn't send you. I'll show it to you later.
Send me, yeah.
It was funny, because basically the gist of it was they're his movies and fucking grow up.
Yeah.
And
that's pretty much where we've been. And
I've been there forever.
You know, 10 years ago, I was in the camp of, you know, fuck George Lucas, and now I've gotten over it.
It's just so funny to me.
And much to your
persistence.
Persistence and I think joy that I am now of this camp of going, oh,
yeah,
who cares? Fucking movie. Get over it.
Don't watch it.
Exactly. Exactly.
I'd never understood where that.
Oh my god! I was. We were. Some friends and I were playing a game with this other friend of a friend, and mm-hmm. we got into an argument about Star Wars. And he had this thing because we mentioned that they're working on a new Blade Runner, and he's like, "Oh, that's gonna fucking ruin Blade Runner." And my point was, don't see it. It's like, well, no, because then that's still gonna ruin. I'm like, how is that ruin?
It doesn't
the first
change
movie?
It. It doesn't
how
change.
How does that ruin? It's like, yes, if you don't like the prequel to, how does that ruin Star Wars for you? Does it go back? Does watching this movie rewrite the tapes that you have, the tapes, DVDs, whatever, downloads that you have of the movie, go back and insert, you know,
or your child rape scenes just to fuck with you? I mean,
or your childhood memories.
If you don't like it, don't watch it. I loved Lion-O. Thundercats when I was a kid. Loved it.
Now, yeah.
I've since watched it, and it's awful. Does not change my warm and fuzzy feelings I had for it.
Well, same thing with me and He-Man.
Yeah.
He-Man was great when I was a kid. I watch it. It's awful now.
I like it. It's bad, but it's so much fun.
Yeah, and I own all the Knight Rider DVDs. And
That's an awful show, too.
It's so bad, but I love it. Yeah. I still love it. So... people, get over yourselves.
It's not even that. Don't fucking watch it. Vote with your wallet.
Speaking of not watching something,
we
have actually two different things here we're not going to watch. NBC has ordered 13 episodes of Hannibal.
Yeah.
Did
you see Hannibal Rising?
No.
It was so bad. I watched that like a week ago. It was so bad.
Well, it's based on the Hannibal Lecter, the series and Thomas Harris and all that. Yeah, on NBC.
Yeah.
Sounds like NBC doing Dexter. Anyway, and the other thing is what you told me about. Do you want to talk about CBS?
Why you bring it up? I'll react.
We've mentioned it before on the show. CBS is working on their own modern-day iteration of Sherlock Holmes called Elementary. Well, they've found their Sherlock Holmes. They've cast Johnny Lee Miller... who was in Trainspotting, Hackers, TV's Eli Stone, and apparently was on Dexter. I think that was this most recent season. Will prowl the streets of Manhattan as Arthur Conan Doyle's story detective of CBS's Elementary. No word yet on who'll be his Watson, but we'll put money on them casting a woman for the part. Seems like a network thing to do. This seems like such a network show. I mean, it seems like Sherlock came out, and they were like, hey, that's a really good idea. Let's fuck it up.
Yeah, I know I just have my little tirade there about don't watch it. I'm not gonna watch this. I mean, it isn't me being I'm not being a petulant child. I'm not watching out of protest. I'm not watching it out of A, no interest. Mm-hmm. B, I have Sherlock.
Yeah, I could totally see him making Watson a woman. And the interesting thing is that really sort of throws off flags with me is that...
it's set in America, for fuck's sake.
Well, not even that.
That
bothers me.
It's
Johnny Lee Miller.
Yeah.
I have no problems with him, but Johnny Lee Miller was just on stage with Benedict Cumberbatch in Danny Boyle's Frankenstein, where apparently it was a dual role.
Fuck like, yeah, I'd watch
one,
that.
One, they both played the monster and the doctor. And Dr. Frankenstein, and one would play him one night and the other would play him the other night.
So I see they're trying to be clever.
Yeah, they'd swap roles each night.
Mm.
But I'm like, okay, so obviously someone... CBS is not doing a good job of covering their ass on this, going, oh, well, he swapped roles with him in this, so let's just get Johnny Lee Miller. He's not doing work. So...
I don't...
Nothing against Johnny Lee Miller. I think he's good.
He's all right. He's weird.
There's no way this show can be nearly as good as Sherlock. I mean...
I hope it is. I hope it's better.
Yeah. I hope it... If I hear that it's absolutely jaw-dropping amazing, I just don't see it happening on American TV.
No.
Just don't see it.
I just don't like it. I don't like the idea. And I don't know. I mean, this is turning into 2012's Wonder Woman thing. The thing I smelled from the beginning that was horrible, and I watched it get worse than I ever possibly imagined, and this is turning out that way.
Yeah. I just got two more little bits here. We talked a bit about Arrow, which is, of course, the CW's Green Arrow. They've cast Katie Cassidy from Gossip Girl, Melrose Place, and Supernatural, has landed the female lead in the show. She'll be joining Stephen Amell in the pilot, set to play Laurel, a young legal clinic attorney who shares a romantic past with Oliver Queen.
Does she work at a cosmetics company?
It does not say.
I hope not.
Susanna Thompson was also cast yesterday as Oliver's mother, Moira Queen.
Sweet.
And the last thing I have is we're always speaking of, you know, putting on your grown-up pants and sucking it up. Tom Hardy got involved in this whole Bane voice thing.
It's like, shut the fuck up.
Yeah, he said, trust in Nolan. It's pretty much what he says.
What have we been saying forever?
In Nolan we trust. And pretty much he came out and, in not so many words, said, chill out, people.
Yeah. I don't know. I almost wonder if somehow, some way, we coined a meme. Because we've been saying in Nolan we trust forever. And I've started noticing it on message boards and shit. And I wonder if we could trace it back to see if it came from us somehow.
I don't know.
Because I know I came up with it myself.
Sure.
But I just don't know.
Sometimes it happens.
It's weird.
Independent stuff.
Yeah.
But that's all I've got for Geekly Happenings.
Some people died.
Really?
Yeah.
Who died?
Grandpa Joe from Charlie and Chocolate Factory, the new one.
From the new one.
Yeah.
Okay.
That guy's fucking dead for 15 years. Yeah, I don't remember his name, but he was in Fawlty Towers also.
Oh, right. He was O'Reilly.
Yeah.
He was O'Reilly on Fawlty Towers.
Yeah, yeah. Yes. Yeah, he died yesterday or some shit like that. Bad. Yeah. Well, you know, I think he was 82 or something like that, so a good long life. Whitney Houston died.
Oh, yeah, that's the big one, is Whitney Houston.
Yeah. I've actually looked
at... I don't think they've announced what she died of. It's most
drugs.
Likely drug overdose.
Probably.
We'll see. You know, we'll see what comes up with
Dory
that.
Previn, the Oscar-nominated songwriter.
Uh-huh.
She wrote... Give me a minute. That's loading. Do you watch Criminal Minds?
Yes.
Paget Brewster's leaving.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. Again?
I guess.
Okay.
But yeah.
Good for her.
Dory Previn, Oscar-nominated screenwriter, songwriter.
And they canceled House.
And they canceled House. That's right. Two for the Seesaw.
Which is, you know, good for Hugh Laurie. Now he can do other work because he's really good.
Maybe he can,
like Hugh Laurie.
Maybe he can be the new Sherlock Holmes.
On
the CBS show.
On the CW.
Yeah.
No, wait. He's not old. He's too old.
He could be Mycroft. There you go.
Yes. No Moriarty. I want to see him play villain.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
He's English. He can go back and do it. Be on Sherlock. Fuck that.
Yeah, there we go.
Fuck it. Move back. Be on Sherlock.
There you go. He is English. I don't really have anything else. I talked about my George Lucas thing. Every time I see something with him going crazier, I'm going to bring it up because it cracks me the fuck up. It's funny.
It is funny. No, I totally agree. That is damn hilarious.
I love it. I don't care if I believe it or not. I like the sentiment, and that's fuck you. Mm-hmm. But
that's all I got.
That's all I got, too. Stay tuned. We're going to be right back, and we are going to be talking about the 2012 Academy Awards.
Woohoo.
Oof. Well, we are back with our main topic discussion. It is our third annual Academy Awards Spectacular. Mm-hmm. This is where we're going to look at the nominations in depth. We're going to go all the way through them. We're going to say what we think. A lot of these are going to go very quickly because there's some that we don't have a whole hell of a lot to say about. Some are going to go on for a long-ass time, if you want to, you can go to, I guess this one's on moviephone.com/Oscars for a printable ballot. That's what we're going to go off of, and we're going to start at the far right bottom and work our way up to Best Picture.
Yep.
Anything to add about the Academy Awards in general before we get started into this?
Well, just the general caveat of, you know, are we going to go over what we think should win, what will win, and what we want to win type
sure.
of thing? Okay.
Sounds like fun.
Some of these are educated guesses, and some of them are fucking random ass guesses.
Some of them I think are gonna,
yeah.
There's some, and I'll probably throw it in there. There's some that I'm positive are going to happen. Some that I have no idea. We'll go there. It's the 84th annual Academy Awards.
And unlike last year's show, I mean, I haven't really done a lot of looking around, seeing what other critics' picks are, whatnot. So I'm going off of my gut instinct. And I've actually seen a good deal of these. Right
I am now, too, so. But my gut's pretty good when it comes to these kinds of things. But I also do, to a certain degree, I pay attention to the other shows. Like, I can't discount what happened at the BAFTAs. I can't discount what happened at the Golden Globes, stuff like that.
Yeah.
So, but some of it isn't going to, I'll try to point it out when I think about it. But there are some things that, like last year, the Academy Awards and the Golden Globes were quite a bit different because of the inclusion of Drew Grett. Because it had zero Golden Globe nominations, and it had like 11 or 12 Academy Award nominations.
I remember that.
And it didn't win anything.
No.
But it threw a lot of stuff off, although most of the stuff fell the way it should have.
Mm-hmm.
So Why don't we just get moving into this? We're going to probably blow through a couple of
mixed,
these.
Mixed bag of nominations this year, I think, too.
Well, kind of.
Well, as far as there's nothing... I was sort of struck this time around. I mean, last year we had for me the nominee that knocked my socks off was The King's Speech. It was just fantastic.
If you remember right, last year your socks were more knocked off by Social Network.
It was good,
but you were walking into it. You thought Social Network was going to take everything, and then you changed your mind about halfway through the ceremony, and you're like, "I'm going to change." I'm like, "I don't care."
Yes.
And
well, you know.
And Social Network was great. King's Speech was great. Uh-huh.
I just sort of felt it was that Social Network was a bit more, you know, was a bit more contemporary.
Oh, it absolutely was
type of thing, and that's why I felt people would go for it, but. This year,
that's why I didn't think that.
There's no one that knocked my socks off to the point of like, wow, fuck, that was amazing.
Yeah.
The one that did it the most was The Artist.
Sure. But, great movie.
You know,
great movie.
But yeah, let's go ahead and get the ball rolling.
Let's get through
the short stuff.
Yeah.
The shorts.
We'll look at animated short film, live action. We got Pentecost, Raju, The Shore, Time Freak, Tuba, Atlantic. I have no idea, so I'm not going to say.
Yeah, I have no clue. So yeah, the Pentecost, Raju, The Shore, Time Freak, and Tuba Atlantic. I don't know.
Let's go with Raju.
I do know. Sure. I'll go with Pentecost.
Sure, why not?
Why not? But one thing that's going on out here in Kansas City, and you might look into it, is...
AMC is playing the...
AMC thing at Tivoli is doing it out here too. Is they're playing the shorts. So I mean, you get to watch these. I think it's the animated, the live action. I don't think it's the documentary shorts.
Probably not.
Those are a lot harder to watch. A lot harder to get a chance to see.
Yeah, I know. Last year I saw them all, but I had to do it illegally.
No,
sorry.
Also understand, I might, you know, some of these changes might I might change some of these before Oscar night. But hey, that's what we got. What do we got for short film animated? We've got Diminucci / Sunday. Okay, The Fantastic Flying Books of Mr. Morris Lesmore, La Luna, A Morning Stroll, and Wildlife. Do any of those ring a bell at all?
Yeah, I've heard of The Fantastic Flying Books of Mr. Norris Lesmore. I've heard of it. Once again, I have no idea, so I'm going to go with the one I've heard of.
Okay. That's probably a good way to go. That's one I'll go for it too. Because it has a long title and it has flying books in it.
Flying books. Sounds educational.
Now I think we're going to get into some...
some things we actually have somewhat.
Yes. Actually, visual effects? I've seen all of them. So
I have seen all of them except for Transformers 4. 3.
You saw Real Steel?
Yeah.
Okay. How did you like Real Steel?
I liked it all right. It was Rocky with robots.
With robots, yeah.
I mean, it was good.
It wasn't bad.
Well, it wasn't as good as Rocky.
The kid was really good, I think.
Kid was pretty good. Pretty good.
I've actually been impressed by a lot of child actors this year. But anyway, why don't you go over?
Okay. We got Harry Potter, Deathly Hallows Part 2, Hugo, Real Steel, Rise of the Planet of the Apes, and Transformers Dark of the Moon.
This is a tough... Well, you know,
it's tough.
It's not really tough as in, man, they're all good.
They're all like,
blah. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, none of these were...
I like...
Because, you know, like, a couple years back when Avatar came out, I mean, there was no way Avatar wasn't winning for visual effects.
Yeah.
There's... And I think last year they started having 5 nominees in this category, and this year you got these. All of the visual effects were good. I honestly wasn't too blown away by the effects in Hugo.
I liked the effects in Hugo. I was actually thinking
I'm not a big Scorsese fan, you know this, but
yeah,
I expected more from him not to go to this 3D gimmick route, because that's exactly what the fuck he did in numerous scenes in that movie.
Some of them, but also not seeing it in 3D, I don't know how it would have transferred. In terms of this, I would, if I were a voter, I would probably vote for Hugo, but I also almost would vote for Harry Potter, because it's the last time I have a chance to vote for Harry Potter.
Yeah.
The effects in Harry Potter were really good. What I liked about the effects in Harry Potter was they were subtle, especially the 3D effects. They were very atmospheric. Yeah. It wasn't, whoa, there's a snake in your face, although there was.
You know, Transformers is a Transformers movie. It's, you know, Dark the Moon, say what you will about the film. The effects were good, but it's... stuff we've seen in 1 and 2, so it was nothing that blew me away. The Rise of the Planet of the Apes was okay.
It's nothing I haven't seen before, though.
Like, the beginning effects were not as good, and then the later ones were better. But you could still...
Caesar looked like Andy Serkis running around to me.
It was still good. I mean, especially those effects were good, but I don't think it has the Gollum momentum behind it of saying, you know, wow.
It also, I don't think it was that good of a movie, personally.
I explained my thing, is up until the whole Rising of the Apes bit, I was kind of interested. It's like, this isn't bad.
It's
then the apes rose and the movie became stupid. I like literally looked away and looked back and suddenly he's seen there has like 1,000 apes with him. I'm like, where the hell did all these fucking guys come from?
And it's like I said, that's like watching Star Wars for Aunt Beru and Uncle Owen's story.
Yeah.
Exactly. While it's technically valid, it's missing the point entirely.
Yes, the whole apes business near the end. I mean, literally the last half an hour of the movie is just
what
retarded,
the fuck? And then James Franco was not good in that at all.
Oh, God, no.
He was, and he's a good actor.
He totally phoned it in.
Oh, God.
It was totally a paycheck.
Yeah.
Well,
my vote's Hugo. I think that's probably what should win.
I'm going to go, I do agree with you that it probably comes down to Harry Potter and Hugo. I'm going to go Harry Potter.
Okay. You're probably right.
If we're going like best effects, it's hard to say.
I think it's
for
Hugo,
me,
though. I'm not necessarily like hardcore disagreeing with you, but I don't think there's a lot of choices there. And I've seen the first Transformers movie. I've seen stuff from the other two, and there's nothing there to where I was just like, you know, holy fuck, you know, this is so incredible. And I don't know. I might also need to see like the. And it might go to Apes, because there's a lot of momentum behind Weta. So, I mean, who knows? I think that maybe Hugo, maybe. And I don't feel that particularly strongly about it, though. That it had Christopher fucking Lee in it, so that's awesome.
Yeah, still not, just, it doesn't blow me away. I expected more from someone who's so particular about his movies like Scorsese.
Mm-hmm.
I expected more from him, and I was disappointed.
So. Okay.
All right, best sound mixing.
What is sound mixing?
What is sound mixing?
Mm-hmm.
Well,
I know what sound mixing is. I'm just seeing if, well, for our people, it's basically the mix between the like the vocal effects and the mm-hmm. and like the background effects and shit like that.
Well, the definition is a process during the post-production stage of a moving image program by which a multitude of recorded sounds are combined into one or more channels.
Mm-hmm.
In the process, the sources, signals, levels, frequency, content, dynamics, and panoramic position are commonly being manipulated. And effects such as reverberation might be added.
Uh-huh. Now,
essentially, it's the mix.
Right.
They mix it down to
an example of bad sound mixing is the Dark Knight Rises prologue that had bad sound mixing, but it's.
I would also cite the all DVD editions of Aliens.
Bad sound mixing.
The dialogue is too quiet and the action is way too loud.
Good sound mixing, Saving Private Ryan. That always jumps to my mind of like really good sound mixing. Really good sound mixing. But basically, it's the balance between the two.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the balance between the noise and the audio.
Yeah, and this is the one of the technical ones, obviously. Yeah. We've got, let's see, of these, I've seen 4 of the 5.
I've seen... 3 of the 5. I have not seen Dragon Tattoo or Transformers.
Yeah, the Girl with the Dragon Tattoo I haven't seen yet, although I do hope to see it within the next 2 weeks.
I do too, eventually.
Yeah. But it's the Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, Hugo, Moneyball, Transformers Dark of the Moon, and Warhorse. This is one of those, you know, sound mixing. It's kind of a hard
Warhorse had good sound mixing.
It did. It did. Transformers was Transformers. Moneyball, okay.
I didn't watch it in terms of Hugo, sound mixing.
Yeah, this is tough.
Probably Warhorse. I don't know.
It's a technical one.
Or maybe Girl Dragon Tattoo. I don't know.
Right now, I'm going to go with Warhorse on this
one. Sure, me too. Because I actually noticed the sound mix in that. And maybe that's not a positive thing.
Yeah.
Maybe it's not a positive thing.
All right.
Now the best sound editing.
Yes, sound editing.
This comes down to Drive, The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, Hugo, Transformers, Dark of the Moon, and Warhorse. I have seen Hugo and Warhorse. So I've seen 2 of the 5.
I've seen Hugo, Transformers, and Warhorse. I actually really would like to see Drive.
I do too.
And The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, so hopefully I'll be seeing all of these.
Yep.
Now
what is sound editing?
Sound editing. Why don't you go off on that one?
Sound editing?
Mm-hmm.
Sound editing is basically the design of sounds. Mm-hmm. It's like the way that a spaceship sounds taking off, or it's sound design, pretty much. I mean, it's like the way that... It's those signs that are combined to make a sound. Like in Star Wars, they would take like the sound of a lion, a fucking a horse, and a sea lion, and mix it together, play it backwards, and that's Chewbacca's roar. Well, that is sound editing. That is creating sounds in terms of a film.
Right.
And as far as this one goes, probably Transformers. Because it's the only one that really strikes me as having any.
This is another one of those technical ones that's hard to.
You know, but a lot of times your technical ones are the ones with the oomph.
Yeah.
And, you know, really the only one with oomph is Transformers, maybe Drive. I would need to see it. I've heard nothing but good things about it, actually.
Me too. So. I'll go with Transformers right now. Uh-huh. You know, maybe I'll change that in future, but. Mm-hmm. I would agree with Transformers, at least for now. I think if it gets anything, it's going to get that.
Yeah.
Because obviously, highly technical movie. And we talked a little bit about this next one, Best Makeup.
Yeah.
Interesting category.
It is. And it doesn't jump out as interesting until you really look at it.
Yeah, it does not have any of the ones you would expect.
Well,
it has some of the ones you expect. It doesn't have the other ones in here that you go, hey, wow.
No, actually, to me, it doesn't jump out like that at all. Because the thing that is traditional with best mm-hmm. makeup, and I always win Oscar pools, always. And I usually get there on three categories. Makeup is one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that I always, my trick to makeup is the most makeup wins, always. And there isn't any that really jump out makeup. You have Albert Nobbs, Harry Potter, Deathly Hallows Part 2, and The Iron Lady.
See, I don't even know what Albert Nobbs really is.
It's a Victorian drama with, Ireland. Albert Nobbs survives the struggle in late 19th century Ireland, where women are encouraged to be, or aren't encouraged to be independent, posing as a man so she can work as a butler. It's Glenn Close.
She's nominated.
So she's made to look up like a dude. And then you got Harry Potter. And I don't know, real makeup jumps out at me in that. You know, like...
Harry Potter, yeah.
I mean, there's makeup in it, certainly.
I think the thing that would have Harry Potter going for it, though, is again, it's the last chance they have to give it an award.
But you
and
have...
It's like what got Return of the King its award. It's like, oh, well, we'll give it to it for the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really where my vote's going, is Harry Potter.
I'm actually looking at that as dead last of the choices.
Okay.
Because you have Albert Nobbs, where they did a very good job. This is something that, you know, once I looked it up, I realized I've heard stuff about this. I guess the makeup is really good in it. And then you have The Iron Lady, which is Meryl Streep playing Margaret Thatcher. And I don't know if you haven't seen it. I haven't seen it either.
I've seen the trailer.
I've seen trailers, and she doesn't look like Meryl Streep to me. She looks like Margaret Thatcher.
Yeah.
And it's really tough to do makeup to where you take a very
recognizable
face such as Meryl Streep and then you turn it into another very recognizable face. I don't know. I guess I would I'd put it on The Iron Lady, I guess. Okay, now we're going to get into some fun shit, Ethan.
Film editing. You know, I'm always interested in the editing stuff, but none of the movies that I would peg as stuff that I'd like to see in this got nominated.
I completely disagree.
The
Artist had incredible editing.
I think The Artist did. The Descendants was okay. Hugo was Hugo. And Moneyball wasn't bad editing.
No, it wasn't.
What movie was it? Honestly, the movie I really liked the editing in was Extremely Loud and Incredibly Close.
I haven't seen it yet, so I can't say. I was actually just thinking about Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy.
Yeah,
that had some really tight editing in it.
So some of the ones that I know when I was watching going, man, this is really good editing, they didn't get nominated.
Well, hell, 50-50 had good editing.
Yeah.
Editing.
Yeah. But this is one of the ones that in history has been pretty major because a lot of times what wins this wins Best Picture.
Yeah, I mean, this
it
is...
It hasn't happened in a few...
There's like the, routinely. There's like the top five awards, and this is like the sixth.
Yeah.
Is when it comes... I do remember it was really weird in 1999, The Matrix won Best Editing, which is really fucking weird.
Yeah.
But we got the artist, The Descendants, Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, Hugo, Moneyball. Artist.
Yeah.
Artist.
Of those, I'm going to have to do artist on that. Descendants was okay. I haven't seen Dragon Tattoo. In my opinion of Hugo is obviously known. And Moneyball is okay. But really, the one that stands out for me in this one is the artist.
Yeah, I'm really good at it.
So I think this is going to be a year where, you know, the artist takes quite a few. But
Probably.
And then here's another fun with cinematography.
Yeah. Now we got
The artist, The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, Hugo, The Tree of Life, and War Horse.
This is interesting.
Yeah,
you know, I hated the Tree of Life.
I did, but
beautiful cinematography.
The good thing we both said about it was pretty.
It was very pretty.
And but I really
once again, Hugo had good cinematography.
It did. So did War Horse.
So did War Horse.
I expect that from Spielberg. So
no, you expect it from Milos.
Sure, sure.
Or but Janusz, excuse me. Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know, man. I almost say The Tree of Life.
Yeah, and my sort of visceral hatred for the movie is sort of biting at me going, no, that shouldn't get a damn thing. And
it'll probably be The Artist. Fuck it, man. The Artist. The Artist had great cinematography.
I need to not...
And then I need to see Dragon Tattoo, but you know, but Fincher movies typically have good cinematography. Yeah,
they typically do. See, this might be one of those that there's always one or two categories in these that I always, you know, go against the grain and go with something else. Mm-hmm. But you know what? I'm going to go ahead and say The Artist on it. Honestly, any of those could win, and I wouldn't have a huge problem.
I don't think War Horse.
Tree of Life was pretty.
Yeah.
But
this is about the only thing that the Tree of Life is nominated for that wouldn't make me angry if it won.
Yeah. Because the other ones, it needs to rot in the fiery pit of hell.
Yeah.
Best cinematography, The Artist.
Holy shit.
What?
I'm sorry. I was looking at documentary shorts. I've actually seen one of them.
Okay.
But I didn't realize that.
What's in there? What's documentary shorts?
The Barber of a Birmingham Foot Soldier, the Civil Rights Movement. I've seen it. The one I did see is God is the Bigger Elvis.
Mm-hmm.
And then I saw Incident and New Baghdad, Saving Face and the Tsunami and the Cherry Blossom. I'm going to go with Incident and New Baghdad. They love that kind of shit.
They do. I don't know why, but I'm looking at Tsunami and the Cherry Blossom.
Sure, why not?
It sounds intriguing. So
yeah, one of these years I'm going to be educated on these, and every year I say it's going to be next year.
It's hard for us, especially us. Kansas boys who don't have any connections and whatnot to these things. It's hard to see these because we're in a market we don't get documentaries out here.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of documentaries, we got the best documentary. We got Hell and Back Again. If a Tree Falls, a Story of the Earth Liberation Front, Paradise Lost 3, Purgatory, Pina, and Undefeated.
I've seen two of these.
I've seen If a Tree Falls and Paradise Lost 3. Now, I have been able to locate Hell and Back Again and Pina, but I have not been able to locate Undefeated.
Uh-huh. Now, I've seen Paradise Lost 3, and I saw Hell and Back Again. I was not a fan of Hell and Back Again. Paradise Lost 3 was very good, but it's like I said to Ethan. There's two things I said to you. One of them is I watched the first two, so the third one, it was a lot of rehashing, although there was a lot of original shit, too. So, it has that. I've heard nothing but good things about Undefeated.
I've heard it too, but
and also we were also talking about this. This is one of the most controversial categories at the Academy Awards first off, they have a notoriously stupid nomination process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but it's also rarely ever does it go to the popular one.
Ever since Bowling for Columbine.
Twice in its history it's gone that way. Mm-hmm. Bowling for Columbine was one, and the other one was Woodstock, and that's it. Course
Bowling for Columbine was after Woodstock, wasn't it?
Yeah, fuck yeah. Okay, so what I'm saying is twice in the history of the award it's happened.
And it hasn't happened since then.
Right, but it's happened twice in 40 years or however long the award's been around, is what I'm saying. And the obvious, the popular one is Paradise Lost 3.
Yeah, that is the one I'm going for.
It's real good.
I really like
it. It is real good.
Granted, I'm going with it. I've only seen two.
It pisses me off, which is a good which is a good thing for a documentary.
Yeah. And sort of my justification for Paradise Lost 3 is that it's because it has a big Hollywood connection. I think that's going to be a thing.
You know what? I need to see these other ones, and it wouldn't make me mad if Paradise Lost 3 wins.
No, it'd be
good. My thing that, you know, like, real quick on Paradise Lost 3, my thing about it is, no matter how you look at it, it was a misservice to justice.
Yeah.
And that's almost fascinating.
Yeah.
You know, either
also,
they
it's
spent
a movie that kind of speaks to me as a guy who likes documentaries like that. So.
Yeah, my thing about it is, you know,
and Tree Falls was good too. It's just Paradise Lost better.
Yeah, Hell and Back Again. I've seen it before, and I'm not a fan.
It's another. It's an documentary.
Yeah, it's Afghanistan, but yeah,
whatever. It's another Middle East war documentary that I'm kind of sick of. So.
Yep. I go there.
And I haven't watched Rest of Pro yet. Didn't it win last year?
No.
It was nominated.
It did not win.
Okay. But we're going into original score, and I think this is the only nomination for Tintin.
I think it is, too. I was just looking over it.
Adventures of Tintin, The Artist, Hugo, Tinker Tailor, Soldier Spy, and War Horse.
Questions? I need to look. Is either Tintin or War Horse John Williams?
War Horse is John Williams.
Okay, strike that one out.
Yeah, that one is not going to win.
Okay.
He has 40 bazillion Oscars. They're not going to give it to him anymore.
Three or four.
Yes, but everyone knows how awesome he is already.
Yeah.
So they're going to go, everyone knows you're great, so we're not giving this one to you.
Okay, original score. Hugo had a nice score. But I loved the score in The Artist.
I'm
going
to have to go Artist on it, just because I know the Academy likes those likes movies that sort of, because you know, of the type of movie The Artist is, I think they're going to go for it.
The Artist should have got sound mixing. It isn't even nominated, but that had great sound mixing.
Mm-hmm.
But okay, well, we're not there.
I think it's the lack of sound.
but yeah, well, you know, the fucking Red Balloon won best screenplay, and it was nobody spoke. Mm-hmm. So I mean,
Balloon.
Yeah, that was a pretty cool movie.
All right,
original song.
So you're saying Artist on?
I'll say Artist.
That's what I'm saying too at this point. Mm-hmm. So, but Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy was really good. I think. The Academy is just going to have such disdain for Tintin, so that's not going to go. But now, original song, only two nominations.
Man or Muppet from the Muppets or Real and Rio from Rio.
I'm going Man or Muppet.
I'm going to go Man or Muppet, too.
Because it's getting... I think the thing going for it is the nostalgia. People love the Muppets.
Sure.
And if you go to Oscars.com and you look at trending topics and whatnot, Muppets is number one.
Yeah.
So I really think they're going to give it to this one because they love the Muppets.
Sure.
I think people voting are going to be like, oh, come on, it's the Muppets. I got to give it to
them. My thing about it is the Rio song wasn't that particularly good.
Sure.
And I still say that Man or Muppet wasn't the best song in the Muppets.
It wasn't.
And they are not performing these at the Oscars.
Yeah, well...
And Jason Segel's got a petition going on his Twitter. If you want to go find his Twitter and sign his petition, I did. Because he wants to perform it. And I want him too. It was cool. All righty. And here's another one of those. We got a couple of fun ones coming up here.
Mm-hmm.
Costume design.
Let's see. Costume design. That's always a fun one.
Yeah.
Costume design up this year is Anonymous, The Artist, Hugo, Jane Eyre, and W.E.
I have no idea what W.E. is.
Neither do I.
I haven't even noticed it.
Anonymous is the one about Shakespeare and the guy who really wrote his stuff. The costumes look good in that one, but I'm like, it looks like an episode of The Tudors to me, so I'm fine. The Artist, Hugo, Jane Eyre. Obviously, I've only seen The Artist and Hugo.
W.E. is Madonna's movie.
Oh, fuck that. I'm probably going to go...
I kind of think Jane Eyre.
You think they're going to go for that cost?
They always go for that kind of shit.
The costume drama.
Yeah. The costume drama.
I think what's probably going to go against The Artist in this one is that it's probably going to win a lot of other stuff, and so they're going to go, well, we're going to give it to something else in this.
Exactly.
Jane Eyre is probably a good bet there, I would guess. I would say.
That's what I'm thinking. I think that Madonna's going to work against W.E. So...
All right, let's see.
Now we got Best Art Direction. That's a fun one. We got The Artist, Harry Potter, Hugo, Midnight in Paris, and War Horse. What exactly is art direction? It's sets and shit, right? Mm-hmm. It's the overall look of the movie. And, you know, man, Midnight in Paris had good art direction. Don't you think?
Oh yeah, so did the artist. That one was quite good.
So did the artist. And Harry Potter did too, but mm-hmm. we had seven other movies. So, I mean, there's nothing new about it. So what
we got? Artist, Hugo, War Horse, Harry Potter, and Midnight in Paris art direction. I don't know historically what they go for on that. If they
art direction, it almost always goes to a Best Picture contender.
Okay. Which, I mean, we'd really want to go with the artist then at that mm-hmm. point.
I'm going to go with Midnight in Paris. Because I'm going to go with the whole, they got to vote for the artist in other categories, so they're going to go with... And the Oscars love Woody Allen. They love his ass.
Yeah, they like to suck him off, you know, all the time.
Maybe, no, I think we're going to go with the artist there. Hugo is good, too, though.
I'm going to... this is a hard one.
Yeah,
this
it is.
A tough one. Because I will admit that the art direction, Hugo, was good.
Very good. You know, fuck that. I'm going with Hugo.
This is rough. Hugo, the artist.
I'm going Hugo.
Because I can see him. I can see him doing that with the artist. Going, well, we're giving it this other stuff, and so it's so good there.
But that's once again. That's looking at the Academy wrongly because it's not a large group that is aware of everything. It's not like every. I was telling this to Ethan before the show. The way that these things break down is they're voted by like-minded people. Mm-hmm. They don't get a ballot like this, and then they get a vote. The way it works is directors vote for directors, actors vote for actor and actress, visual effects people vote for visual effects people, makeup for makeup people, etc., and everybody votes for picture. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. I'm leaning towards the artist, but I think I'm going to go with Hugo.
Yeah. I think Hugo's... I'll go with Hugo on this one for now.
That's probably, I think, Hugo's strongest category.
Yeah, probably.
Without a doubt. Well, let's get now, some, these are the big ones.
The screenplays, yes. Adapted screenplay, we've got The Descendants, Hugo, The Ides of March, Moneyball, and Tinker, Tailor, Soldier, Spy.
Mm-hmm. Without a doubt, The Descendants for me.
I've seen...
No, zero doubt. And I've seen the...
Yeah, I've seen all of these, and it's gonna go to The Descendants. Yep. It's such...
Without a doubt.
It's the love child there.
Yep, without a doubt.
Ides of March.
I haven't seen Ides of March, but...
I just watched it today. I was not horribly impressed with it. And Moneyball.
Moneyball.
I really would love Tinker, Tailor, Soldier, Spy to get some recognition, but I think Descendants is gonna...
Probably won't, yeah.
What do we got in the original screenplay?
Original screenplay, we've got Midnight in Paris, Margin Call, A Separation, which is cool, The Artist, and Bridesmaids. And all right.
Original screenplay, I don't see how this can't go to The Artist.
This is going to go to The Artist. This is something I'm going to point out to all you folks out there, that traditionally, not always, but traditionally, the Best Picture takes one of the two categories.
Mm-hmm.
And traditionally, not always, but traditionally, there's always two clear-cut front-runners for Best Picture. And traditionally, not always, but traditionally, they always break into two screenplays. Mm-hmm. And this is the easiest categories for me ever.
Yeah.
So, for me, it's the artist, without a doubt.
All right. And now, in the
screenplay, though, for a mostly silent film, it's... I want to read this screenplay, by the way. And I'm sorry, I didn't say this before. Best original screenplay, The Separation. That's cool because that's a foreign language film.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Speaking of which, best foreign film, we've got Bullhead from Belgium, Footnote from Israel, In Darkness from Poland, Monsieur Lazare from Canada, and A Separation from Iran.
A Separation, without a doubt, because it's nominated for screenplay.
Yeah, that would be my litmus on that one. I would say, because isn't A Better Life also a foreign film? The Damien Bichir?
Yes.
If that was nominated down here, I'd be looking at that. But yeah, mm-hmm. A Separation from Iran, we'll go with. Best Animated Feature Film.
And this is now, probably
the
weakest.
Did they expand it from 3 to 5 this year, or was that last year?
Mm, this year.
So it, I know it's a recent thing.
Yeah. Within the last couple of years, but certainly. But
they've got two movies that literally came out of fucking nowhere. Yeah. Was Cat in Paris, Chico and Rita, Kung Fu Panda 2, Puss in Boots, and Rango.
Uh-huh.
And obviously, the big thing here, we talked about it once before, is
no Pixar. No Pixar.
No Pixar nomination.
Rightfully so.
Rightfully so for Cars 2. I didn't see it, and I've heard it's not great.
It's not great at all.
I've only seen Kung Fu Panda 2 in here. I'm assuming you've seen a lot more of these than I have.
I've seen Rango.
Well, that's more.
That's it. No, that's one.
That's it? You haven't seen Kung Fu Panda 2? Oh, that's right. Chloe is anti...
She's anti Kung Fu Panda right now.
I don't know why, because Kung Fu Panda 2 was fantastic.
She used to love it. She saw Kung Fu Panda in the theater and loved it. And then it came out, she doesn't want to have anything to do with it, doesn't want it in her house. So I haven't got to see it.
Okay.
I will see it. Fucking Gary Oldman.
Yeah. Yep, there you go.
And we got Al Pacino as the macho and
El Macho. That's in Despicable Me 2.
Yeah.
Coming out.
I go with Rango. It's the best reviewed of all of these.
Yeah, I haven't seen it.
People fucking loved Rango, but it might lose a little bit of steam because it came out like last March or something like that.
It's hard for me.
I gotta go
and see Puss in Boots taking it.
I can't. Isn't Kung Fu Panda 2 DreamWorks?
Yes.
And Puss in Boots is DreamWorks?
Yes.
And Rango is DreamWorks?
I don't think Rango is.
Well, okay. This is one I'm going to go with Rango, but I could very easily get fucked, and it might go to Cat Paris or Chico and Rita.
Yeah.
That's just where I am.
Those are the... I have no idea about
this. This is traditionally an easy category. It's not easy this year.
No.
I'm just going to go with Rango because it was really well reviewed when it came out.
Yeah.
And I saw it and it was okay. It was pretty good.
No, I've got it. I haven't watched it yet.
That's
I hope
right.
to watch it the next week. I thought Kung Fu Panda 2 was great.
I want to see it.
I've heard a lot of good things about Puss in Boots.
I haven't heard much about Puss in Boots.
I heard it was funny. I heard it was good.
I'm sure it was.
Yeah, I'm going to go with your judgment on that and go with Rango, just because...
Out of all the categories for you to go with my judgment on, this would be the worst one.
Okay. Right now, I'm going with Rango. I might revise that.
It was really well reviewed, though.
But now we get into the big ones.
Okay. Yep.
We are in the big ones.
These are the top five.
Let's see. Best Supporting Actress. The supporting categories are always kind of...
Fun.
Fun. I always find them, they're kind of hard to guess sometimes.
No, I don't think this one's hard at all.
Because, well, I think a lot of times they use the supporting category to give a nod to a movie that you wouldn't otherwise
sure.
be recognizing.
I look at this one, and pretty much for like the next five... I'm not going to say require, but I'm certainly going to point out what will win, what should win, every single one of them. So you can do that if you want, but go ahead and read them off.
Well, Best Supporting Actress, we have Bernice Bejo in
Bejo,
in The Artist, Jessica Chastain in The Help, Melissa McCarthy in Bridesmaids, Janet McTeer in Albert Nobbs, and Octavia Spencer in The Help. Now, I've seen The Help. I've seen The Artist.
I've seen all of these.
The Melissa McCarthy one for Bridesmaids is sort of out of nowhere.
I have not seen Albert Nobbs, but I've heard...
The only thing I've heard about Albert Nobbs is Janet McTeer is excellent in it.
Yeah. She's typically excellent.
And, you know, I've heard some people who are a bit more snobbish of movies going, oh, Janet McTeer is going to get it. Janet McTeer is going to get it. I don't know, because I literally know next to nothing about that movie. I really thought Bernice Bejo in The Artist was great. Bejo
is
great. It was great in it. Jessica Chastain or Octavia Spencer. I think they're gonna. We're talking. You know, the supporting one is generally a throwaway. Sometimes, for the most part,
wasn't last year, dude. Last year was awesome.
I'm saying, usually, okay. I forget who got it last. Who got it last year? The supporting actress.
Supporting actress. It was Melissa Leo from The Fighter.
Okay.
She kicked fucking ass. And supporting actor was Christian Bale, and he kicked ass.
So I think this one they're probably best guess Octavia Spencer.
Mm-hmm.
She was really good.
Have you which of these have you have not seen?
I've not seen Bridesmaids or Albert Nobbs.
Okay.
And so I'm going to say Octavia Spencer, although, you know, I've heard buzz about Janet McTeer.
Mm-hmm.
But that's really That's it for me. I mean, what are your thoughts on it?
Octavia Spencer is going to win because she's won every fucking category leading up to this and every award ceremony that matters.
Mm-hmm.
Simply. As far as what I want to win, I would need to see Albert Hobbs, Knobs.
Mm-hmm.
I really like Bernice Bichot, though.
Bernice Bichot and the artist,
yeah. Yeah.
She was good. She I know you love good. Fell in love with that movie. I know you did. Yeah. So
Octavia Spencer is who's gonna win. I would like to see Bernice Bichot win.
Alrighty. Well, let's move on to supporting actor. Mm-hmm. What do we got there?
We've got Kenneth Branagh in My Week with Marilyn, and he was playing fucking Laurence Olivier in that.
Oh, nice.
Yep. And Jonah Hill for Moneyball, mm-hmm. Nick Nolte in Warrior, Christopher Plummer in Beginners, and Max von Sydow in Extremely Loud, Incredibly Close. I've seen
Moneyball, and I've seen Extremely Loud and Incredibly Close.
I've seen Moneyball and Warrior.
Okay. The two names that I've heard buzz about is Nick Nolte and Christopher Plummer.
Uh-huh.
Christopher Plummer's been getting everything.
Yeah.
Like, just sweeping it.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people, I mean, is this his first nomination? Or, I mean, he's been
Christopher
nominated.
Christopher Plummer?
Yeah.
No, he's okay. been nominated.
I was going to say, he's been nominated
times.
Before.
He's been nominated relatively recently.
So is Max von Sydow. You know, when I saw Extremely Loud and Incredibly Close, I thought Sydow was okay.
Yeah.
He had an interesting part in it because he doesn't speak.
Cool.
He writes notes and speaks through that and has tattoos of no and yes on each on each hand, and that's how he communicates.
That's cool.
He's really good. I thought the kid was better. The little kid in it was really good. So really, I'm going to go...
He's been nominated for two Oscars, Christopher Plummer has.
Okay.
So there's been this one, and there was that thing.
I know both him and...
Yep, The Last Station.
Both him and Sydow are 82 years old, so I think they're some of the oldest nominees ever.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go with, as far as I'm hearing, I'm going to go with pretty much whoever else is going with, Christopher Plummer.
Me too.
I think he's going to win it.
I do too, because
he hasn't won. And I think this is there we're going, okay, well, here.
Yeah, I mean, it's a really good career, and mm-hmm. it's a really good performance. It's kind of like what happened with James Coburn when he won for Affliction.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously that was awarding a career versus a role. And Max von Sydow's good.
Mm-hmm.
Christopher Plummer is Christopher Plummer. He's got the stuff behind him. Nick Nolte's kind of got a stigma going with him, even though he was really, 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 really good in this.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to see My Week with Marilyn a lot, but mm-hmm. I just haven't seen any. And you know, it wouldn't really. None of those would upset me particularly. Even Jonah Hill wouldn't particularly upset me.
No, he was good.
He was good.
I mean, but you know, the snickers he got when he got
That was the reporters. That wasn't the voters. So.
And that's fine. It, you know, truth be told, he was quite good.
He was very good.
It really sort of changed my opinion on the guy.
I always liked him. I mean, he's kind of a dork, but you know.
No, and you know. I'm fine with him if he plays me in a movie.
My thing about it is he always seems to play characters with way more confidence than that guy should have.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't. And he played a not particularly self-assured person.
I thought he played off of Brad Pitt real well.
He did. Real good movie. Well, good movie, yeah.
Yeah. So, best actress.
Mm-hmm.
We got Glenn Close for Albert Nobbs, Viola Davis in The Help, Rooney Mara for The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, Meryl Streep in her 17th nomination for The Iron Lady,
mm-hmm.
And Michelle Williams in My Week with Marilyn. Honestly, this one's a tough one for me.
There's two nominees in this category, as far as I'm concerned.
Which ones do you think?
Meryl Streep and Michelle Williams.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say this. I do think that Octavia Spencer is going to win Supporting Actress, but I think that Viola Davis deserves an Oscar for that movie. She was the more interesting character.
She's in Extremely Loud and Incredibly Close.
Is she?
Yeah.
Good. I'm looking forward to watching that. But we got...
It's interesting. There's a lot of cross actors in it because John Goodman's in Extremely Loud and Incredibly Close, too.
Oh, really? And he was in The Help.
Yeah.
The artist.
So it's like it's interesting that these actors are appearing, and it's just weird how it kind of worked out this year.
Okay, here's what I say. I want Meryl Streep to win because I want.
How many has she won? Two, I think.
She's 17 nominations, mm-hmm. and you know, two wins. I want her to win five in her lifetime, and so I want her to win because I want her to beat. I want her to win five.
I don't see it happening.
I don't see her winning this at all. I want her to, But I want her to win five because I want her to beat Katharine Hepburn's record.
Okay.
But she's still youngish. She could, you know, she's still got probably 20 years of acting left in her. It's probably going to go to Michelle Williams, though. She's had a lot of momentum behind her.
And I haven't heard any of it, apparently.
What about the BAFTA, the Golden Globe, the SAG? I mean,
okay.
Or I'm sorry, not the SAG.
Right now, I'm going to go just based on what I've heard about the role of Rooney Mara in The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. Although it might
bad
be
choice,
might be too early for her.
It's way too early, and this is a sneak in nomination.
Sure,
this is one that she wasn't nominated for fucking
it's like
anything.
Hayley Steinfeld from True Grit,
kinda, but she hasn't been nominated for a goddamn thing besides the Oscar.
Mm-hmm.
So I go with Michelle
right now.
Williams.
I'm going with Rooney Mara. I may revise that.
People we'll feel see. Sorry for Michelle Williams too.
Okay,
because of Heath Ledger.
Okay, were they?
They were married and had a kid.
Oh, all right.
Well, they never got married, but they had a kid, and she was accepting a lot of his awards when he was winning for The Dark Knight, and she's always talking about their kid and et cetera. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to go to her. I'd be cool with it going to Meryl Streep, although mm-hmm. the way I understand it was she was fucking amazing in it. She was as good as Meryl Streep in it, but it's just not a very good movie, and that's something that
right.
Ed Douglas said it and Roger Ebert said it, and those are like the two critics I pay attention to.
Sure.
So I say Michelle Williams, and I want to see that because she plays Marilyn Monroe. She's fucking gorgeous.
I'm entirely going off of an uneducated opinion on this one. So, I mean, like I said, I haven't read any critics' choices mm-hmm. here anywhere.
Best actor.
Best actor. This
is easy for me.
Yeah. We've got Damien Bashir in A Better Life, George Clooney in The Descendants, Jean Dujardin in The Artist, Gary Oldman in Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy, and Brad Pitt in Moneyball. I think ultimately, like you said it in the last one, it comes down to...
I haven't seen A Better Life, but that's it.
Yeah, that's the only one I haven't seen. This really is a two-actor category. It's Jean Dujardin or George Clooney. Mm-hmm. It sort of depends on how the Academy wants to go. I'm going to go with how Jean Dujardin, I think he's just going to win. He's so good in
this. I'm sad. I would
Clooney
be
Clooney is really good in Descendants, though. It's
Clooney
his best performance.
No, Clooney has never been better than he was in The Descendants. But I go with Jean Dujardin. I really think that he is the best. I think he's probably the most deserving. But, you know, in terms of, like, the truth of it, if Jean Dujardin does not win it, George Clooney will.
Yeah.
But as far as I'm concerned...
I mean, that's why it's those two. Everyone else be fucked. It's those two in the category.
The reality of it is it's those two. The reality of Aaron, it's Jean Dujardin or Gary Oldman.
Yeah, we've said it before. I mean, it's great that Oldman finally has a nomination. It
George
sucks
Clooney,
that it's this year.
George Clooney has a fucking Oscar already. I would never vote for him.
And that's why I don't think the Academy is going to go that mm-hmm. route. I think they're going to give it to Jean Dujardin.
Yep.
But, I mean, Gary Oldman, we love the guy. I love Gary Oldman. It mm-hmm. sucks that he's nominated this
and
year.
Brad Pitt was really good. That's probably his best performance.
He was really good.
I mean, he's maybe wackier and other stuff, but he was fantastic in this. Mm-hmm. I mean, he didn't strike me as motherfucking Brad Pitt in that. He just struck me as a down-on-his-luck dude.
No.
I mean, overall, everyone was good in here. I mean, I haven't seen this a Better Life, and I probably will before the Oscars.
Yeah.
But,
yeah, that one sort of strikes me. It really reminds me of the... Javier Bardem, Beautiful.
Yeah,
nomination.
Yeah,
it's that nomination.
Yeah. Getting him in the.
Yeah.
Yep. No. It's not his. No, it's his Before Night Falls nomination. His Beautiful.
You know what I
mean, his Beautiful was after he won for.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
Yeah,
what I meant.
Before Night Falls was that one.
All right, Best Director.
Best Director. We've got Woody Allen for Midnight in Paris, Michelle Hazenvicius for The Artist, Terrence Malick for The Tree of Life, Alexander Payne for The Descendants, Martin Scorsese for Hugo.
Now, over the last couple of years, you know, it's kind of a toss-up.
It's changing lately.
It is changing, where they'll give director to one and
I love it when that happens.
I could see them doing it this year. I could see them doing it again. I think it would piss me off if Malick got it for Tree of Life, but
I'm going to prepare myself for that. But I don't think it's going to happen.
I hope that Tree of Life is not this year's
Saving Private Ryan
is not this year's. No, it wouldn't be Saving Private. Ryan.
Or I'm sorry, fucking
Shakespeare in Love.
Oh, that's what I meant.
Here's
where I'm at on this.
Mm-hmm.
Directors love Terrence Malick. They love his ass.
Yeah, but they didn't give it to him for Thin Red Line.
No, they gave it to Spielberg because they were going to fuck him over when it came to Best Picture.
Yeah.
I still say this is going to go to Hazenvicius.
To Hazenvicius for
that's
the artist.
That's a fucking gamble because Alexander Payne won the Golden Globe, mm-hmm. and I think Hazenvicius won the BAFTA. I'm not sure.
Yeah, director got director.
And I'm sorry. Alexander Payne did not. I'm sorry. Martin Scorsese got the Golden Globe,
mm-hmm.
and. I think it's going to go to...
Descendants got best picture.
Yeah, and best actor.
And best actor.
Drama. Woody Allen?
See, to me, I think...
I think people are getting sick of Woody Allen. I know I'm kind of contradicting myself.
I'm discounting him on this, but I think the Descendants sort of falls into the... in my mind, is falling into the Social Network niche. As I just don't think it's going to get it.
It is also isn't
like it did last
that
year.
Good. I mean, it's good.
But The Descent, it was good.
I'm sorry.
It was a great acting movie.
I'm sorry, but as far as I'm concerned, without a fucking doubt, if there's any justice in this, it's going to go to Hazenvicius. He was the
easily down to Hazenvicius and Scorsese, and
it's the best directed
one. Scorsese's already got one.
But,
so.
And I think I've said it before. I've certainly said it to you. I don't know if I've said it on the show, but they've given Martin Scorsese an Oscar for making a Martin Scorsese movie. Mm-hmm. This is not a Martin... I mean, Hugo is not a traditional Martin Scorsese movie, so maybe they might want to throw him another one because it took him so long. I still say the Hazenvicius directed the best directed movie of the year.
I'm going with Hazenvicius on it, too.
So, I'm somewhat butchering that because I'm not French.
No,
but it's pretty close. But
we're two Kansas boys, we don't think.
All right. Hazenvicius.
Best Picture, final category, 9 nominees this year.
I have seen 8 of them.
I have seen all of them.
You beat me, motherfucker.
I did.
But I've seen all the Best Picture winners.
I didn't set out, but you will see the
soon.
Other one soon. So.
Very soon.
But like I've been saying, the nominees are, for those of you who've been living under a rock, The Artist, The Descendants, Extremely Loud and Incredibly Close, The Help, Hugo, Midnight in Paris, Moneyball, Tree of Life, and War Horse.
Okay.
None of these absolutely knock my socks off. I really liked Social Network last year, and I really liked King's Speech last year. Mm-hmm. Those both were, I thought, amazing movies. None of these 9 movies just absolutely floored me as far as, fuck, that was amazing, I have to go out and buy it.
Mm-hmm.
And that I have to go out and buy it is sort of a test for me of how much I like a movie, and none of these were...
I have to buy The Artist.
But, like, I would probably buy Tinker, Tailor, Soldier, Spy.
Maybe.
It's not even on the list.
And I think... And
fuck
like,
you, Tree of Life.
As far as I'm concerned... Okay, number if you've been paying attention to our show at all, I'm going to vote for The Artist. I think it's the best. I think it should win. I think it's going to win.
I agree.
But as far as Aaron,
it is the best, yeah.
As far as Aaron is concerned, let's go ahead and throw Tree of Life and War Horse off of here. They don't deserve to be on there.
No.
Replace it with Tinker, Tailor, Soldier, Spy. And I'm sorry, but if you're going to put Hugo and The Help and Moneyball in here, put 50-50 in here also. 50-50 was really good.
It Leaps and Bounds better than Tree of Life.
Well, that's not
dog
hard.
Shit's better than that. I would agree with you. Tree of Life has gone. War Horse, I'm not so offended by the nomination.
No, not at all.
It's a good movie, but it's not... I keep saying
it's Spielberg doing
an Oscar movie, and it's like, okay, I've seen this.
It's Hidalgo made better.
Yeah, exactly.
So.
Exactly. And it's good, but meh, you know.
I've
explained my sort of thing, mm-hmm. so yeah, I'd get those off of there. Moneyball was okay.
Moneyball is pretty good.
Best Picture okay?
No,
I wouldn't put it on.
No,
there.
Not at all.
Midnight in Paris was good.
Midnight in Paris is damn good.
It's my top. My top 5 on here would be The Artist, Extremely Loud and Incredibly Close, The Help, Midnight in Paris, and The Descendants.
I would go The Artist.
I really
Midnight in Paris. Yeah. I have not seen Incredibly Loud and Extremely Loud, Incredibly Close.
Uh-huh.
Then I would probably go Hugo. Then I would probably go The Help. Then The Descendants.
Uh-huh.
And then War Horse second to last, and Tree of Life dead last.
Dead last for Tree of Life. War Horse second to last.
And that's a huge gap.
Hugo third to last for me.
See, I really liked it, but
and Moneyball right before that one. I think I like Moneyball a bit better than Hugo, but
sure.
Hugo just didn't do anything for me. I didn't hate it, like I said,
I do want to see the.
It's the first Scorsese movie I've seen that I didn't hate, so
yeah.
Which is a step.
I'm really
right
surprised
there,
you didn't
good.
Hate. I'm surprised you hated Aviator. I didn't think it was hateable. I just didn't think it was very good.
That's just it.
there's nothing to hate about it.
I didn't like it.
And
I like it better than I liked Aviator, but yeah, you know.
Yeah. I liked and you didn't like the original Kings of Comedy, right? And I thought that was really good.
I don't think I've seen the original Kings of Comedy.
It was the thing with Jerry Lewis and Robert De Niro. Robert De Niro was trying to become a comedian, and he was horrible at it, and he went and he latched on to Jerry Lewis, and he was like an established, you know, he pretty much played Jerry Lewis. It was an interesting movie.
I haven't seen it.
And you hate a Taxi Driver. And
yeah, I loathe Taxi Driver. I like Taxi Driver. Horrible, and Goodfellas.
I think
the worst movies I've ever seen.
Oh, that's pushing it, dude.
I hate, you don't understand how much I hated that movie.
Yeah, but which one?
Goodfellas. I hated it.
Fuck Goodfellas. As far as I'm concerned,
Casino was just Goodfellas again.
You have not seen Mean Streets, right?
No.
I like Mean Streets. And don't bother.
I have seen.
If you don't like. But see, like, my thing, Casino is not good.
Gangs in New York didn't like it either.
I didn't particularly like it either. I thought Crazy Guy.
Daniel Day-Lewis.
I thought he was.
When is he not awesome?
That's my point. But I thought
him phoning it in is an amazing performance.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Liam fucking Neeson was in it.
Yes,
and he died in like 5 seconds.
Yes, yes, he did.
So, but he was in it.
And Brendan Gleeson.
Yeah,
right.
And he got his head crushed. And he did. Fucking the guy that was in Warrior, not Tom Hardy, but the other one.
Sure.
Joel Edgerton was in it, and lots of people.
And Leo. So, I mean, this is obviously, I'm going with the artist on this one. It's the best one out of it. It's got all the buzz. It's winning everything. I think it's going to take this.
How cool is that going to be?
It's a movie made for the Academy Awards.
It's a movie. Fuck them. No, it's a movie made for Aaron.
It is a movie made for Aaron, but it's a movie made for the Academy to go, yeah, we remember silent film. We love it. We'll give that
an award. That's going to be fucking cool. Because do you know when the last time a silent picture has won Best Picture?
No.
1927.
Nice.
It was the first Oscars, and since then...
See, and I think that is one reason it's going to win.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of stupid to vote for something so you can have an asterisk in the in the books, but at the same time, it was a fucking great movie.
Yeah. The Descendants was good.
I've watched...
again, it's an actor's movie.
Yeah. I watched The Descendants once. I watched The Help twice, and that's because I watched The Help months ago, and I wanted to watch it again.
Yeah.
I watched Hugo once. I watched Midnight Paris twice because Rachel wanted to see it, and I watched it without her.
It was
Moneyball once. Tree of Life, three quarters of once.
I mean, in order of preference, I mean, the artist.
I've seen the artist four times.
The artist is my number one. My number two actually is Extremely Loud and Incredibly Close. I really liked it.
Who directed it?
No one I recognize, and I can't remember. I remember seeing the name, but it's a good movie. Okay. I enjoyed it. It really,
Tom Hanks is in it, right?
Yeah, yeah. Tom Hanks, Sandra Bullock, Max von Sydow, and the little kid in it, I don't know his name, is really good in it. I really liked it. Generally, little kids in movies really annoy me, unless they're good, but... Yeah. Really, all of these movies, the little kids in them have been great, so I'm happy. But
Stephen Daldry, dude.
Hmm?
Stephen Daldry.
Okay.
He directed The Help. I'm sorry, not The Help. The
No.
Right. Where did I get that? Just keep talking.
Sure. Extremely Loud and Incredibly Close. Really liked it. I mean, I really liked it more than I expected to.
Mm-hmm.
Tom Hanks is really good in it.
It's Tom Hanks.
Yeah,
Tom Hanks is really good.
Sandra Bullock is really good in it.
Academy Award winner Sandra Bullock.
What I liked about it is it didn't go in the direction I thought it was. Well, it did, but then it didn't. And it didn't do a lot of the cliches I was expecting.
Good.
And I really
that's
liked
one
that.
Of the things that turned me off about this. Is
yeah, and it doesn't do that.
Good.
Which is nice. And because I was expecting...
Did you ever see that... I don't remember what it was called, but it had Adam Sandler and... guy that played War Machine in Iron Man 2, Don Cheadle, and it was like the same basic idea, the September 11th survivor.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, it was so uncool, especially with Adam Sandler playing the lead in it. It was
yeah,
it was not cool.
So yeah, obviously I ranked it here at my number two. I really liked it. It was, I thought, really good. Sydow was good, but he wasn't the best thing in it, so I don't know why he...
Who?
Sydow, Max von Sydow. It was really good, but, you know, hey.
Yeah.
My number three would be Midnight in Paris, which surprised the hell out of me.
The Reader.
Hmm?
Stephen Daldry directed The Reader.
Oh, right.
That was a good damn movie. And The Hours and Billy Elliot.
Mm-hmm.
Those are all good movies.
So there you go.
I like Billy Elliot.
It is good. It is not what I was expected. My number three was Midnight in Paris. Surprised the hell out of me. It's a Woody Allen movie.
You're growing up. Good job.
I chalked it up that Woody Allen wasn't in it for me to hate it. And I've explained it. I just don't like him.
And that's
and
it's a lot of people.
This is why I don't like him. It's just whenever he opens his mouth, I want to punch him.
Well, how about the whole leaving his wife for a stepdaughter thing?
That was kind of creepy and nasty.
Yeah.
But so, I mean, he wasn't in it, so he didn't ruin the movie for me.
Then, you know, at your leisure, but you need to re-explore Woody Allen movies in the last 10 years, because he hasn't been in any of them. He was in Match Point. It had Ewan McGregor and Colin Farrell.
Mm-hmm.
That was a good movie.
Nice.
Vicky Cristina Barcelona.
My number four would be The Descendants. Yeah. And that's... And we're getting into ones that's like, okay, once I... You know, if these are sort of wishy-washy likes, and then my number five was The Help. Help was good.
Yeah.
Meh. For me,
give me Mississippi Burning.
Yeah,
civil rights
movie.
If you're
gonna watch a civil rights movie,
if you're gonna watch a civil rights movie, you know, you kind of need to make it hurt. You know, not just make, you know, what's her face eat shit, a shit pie. Yeah. So,
you know. Oh, spoiler. No, it's
a good movie. Good movie. Rachel cried like a maniac in the movie.
I thought the costume design in it was good. It didn't get nominated, but I thought. It was a good design.
Real good design.
You know.
Yeah. As far as I'm concerned, I fell in love with The Artist.
Yeah, yes, you did.
Oh, it's such a fucking great movie.
I know you were like, oh, it's not playing anywhere close, and I told you where it was playing.
Yeah.
Woohoo! Like, dumbass, it's playing right over there.
So I went and saw it
now and again playing, and like, everywhere. It's playing at least in two theaters that I know. Like, one right up the street.
It's playing in Lawrence, for Christ's sakes.
Yeah. Now it's playing everywhere.
Yeah. Hell, if it's in Lawrence, shit. I should look from TV. It's probably playing there, too.
Yeah.
Hey. Sheesh. But no, I love that movie. As far as I'm concerned, you know, we did, at the end of the year, we did our favorite films of the year, and my list does not change much seeing the Academy Award movies. Although, I will put The Artist it will be my number one on my list, which was 50-50, but it would only pretty much shift the rest of my list. I loved The Artist, but, you know, I've seen all these other movies that the critics and the academies and so forth are saying are, you know, fucking fantastic, and it didn't really do much for me. I mean, that's really the only change that happens to my list, is I did love The Artist, and I discovered Jean Dujardin, which is a wonderful achievement, a wonderful discovery, and he should play Doctor Strange.
Mm-hmm.
That would rule. Just need to train him up in some English, but, you know, that'll be all right.
Yeah, but that is...
That's what we got on that.
That is what we got. Those are our Oscar picks for now, anyway.
Yeah. You know?
Some of these might change
for me. I might fall in love with Extremely Loud, Incredibly Close. Mm-hmm.
There's no way it's going to out The Artist.
No way.
But it is good.
I'm sure I'll like it. Like
I told you, I think you will like it.
I'm sure I will.
Because it is not...
I almost like everything.
It's what you expect, but not what you expect. Because it does things that I didn't... That were nice.
I was trying to be diplomatic when I said I didn't think you were going to like The Tree of Life. But I was pretty sure that you were going to hate it. And boy, did you ever. So maybe I'll love this movie because you think I'm going to like it.
Tree of Life. That's 2 hours, 2.5 hours of my life that I'll
never get back. Yeah. But speaking of getting back, stay tuned. We're going to come back with the fifth round at this point of the pop culture movie showdown.
We are actually in
the second to last round, the fourth round.
Yeah. So I'm going to announce round three results and the round four matches.
Okay. And we will be back. Yay. Awkward segue. Samwise has AIDS, and we are back!
Samwise has full-blood AIDS.
Yeah, Samwise has full-blood AIDS. But now that we are done giving everybody AIDS, we are back. We just talked our Academy Award spectacular.
For those who don't know, you need to go on YouTube and search Liam Neeson.
Life's too short. And we talked about it last week, but yeah.
But then you don't understand it even.
But just fuck that. Watch Life's Too Short. It's a funny ass show. It's got Warwick Davis. He was a wicket, and he also played young Greedo, who shot first.
Yes.
Yes.
Was he actually young Greedo?
Yeah. Okay. In a cut scene, but okay. And he was also that fucking weird guy at the pod races, but there was a cut scene with young Greedo, and it was cut. It's in the deleted scenes on the DVD, definitely. I'm not sure if it's on the Blu-ray or not, but definitely on the DVDs. But talked Oscars, you might be able to use us to say you guys suck when we get everything wrong, or you might say like, maybe they do know what they're talking about.
All of our stuff, or we might post up what we.
I just need to really look through it again. I want to see a couple more of these.
We'll post up before the award. I mean, I'll post mine up.
I'm not doing a poll. I'm not. Because somebody's got to be the Price Waterhouse.
That's true.
So I'm going to have to do that. It's going to be the first time. But I've also had the traveling statue for 10 years, 11 years, something like that.
Probably longer than that.
However long I've had it, the traveling statue hasn't traveled.
You first got it when you were living in Lawrence.
I am living in Lawrence.
Well, sorry.
Well, on Mass.
You were living in I think it was your 22nd birthday. The one that I came over, you and Anthony got horribly drunk, and Anthony was like, "I love you, man," and you were like walking the walls and.
The apartment building where I was like three floors up.
Yes.
Yeah, that would have been my 22nd birthday, so that'd be 10 years this year. So I've had the damn statue for 10 years.
Yes.
Granted, there was a couple of years in there where we didn't vote.
We weren't connected to each other,
but I would have won anyway. Well, statistically, I probably would have won.
Probably,
but
yes.
I'm gonna become the Price Waterhouse of our little thing, so somebody can be non-partial and judge us up and give out the awards. And I guess the traveler's gonna have to leave. We just have to make sure it stays within the groups. So we'll figure that out.
It'll be fine.
It will be fine. But that's what we had this week. We don't know what we're doing next week. We're just flying by the seat of our pants now for some reason. But we'll have something next week, I'm sure.
We'll see if we can get someone on the show next
week. Yeah, well, maybe we'll talk to McGee or something. We'll see.
Maybe.
I don't know.
I know a week after, we're trying to get Douglas back on, right?
Yeah. Yeah, Ed. I think we actually have him penciled in. I'll have to look at my email, but we actually have him.
We're going to talk documentaries.
Yep, we're talking docs with him. It'll be cool.
Boom. And then we got some more people in March. Now, coming up in March, there might be a week in the middle of March that I can't do the show, but we'll see. I'll let you know.
Yeah, just let me know. Let me know the date.
I might be actually doing a production assistant work on something.
Fun. I saw you talking about that.
So we'll see what happens there. I haven't heard anything concrete. But hey, you know, it'll be interesting.
Besides movies, what else do we talk about on this show?
Pop
culture movie showdown?
Pop culture stuff, yeah.
Yes.
This does involve movies.
Kind of.
Yes.
Yeah, it totally does.
But yes, we are entering round... We have just finished up... Last Sunday, we finished up round three of the movie pop culture showdown, the first annual movie pop culture showdown. We seem to be getting less voters each time, which is annoying. So people need to go out and vote. Of course, I haven't been out there pimping it as much as I have.
Yeah.
I've been busy.
Yeah,
but
I was actually expected all Tracy's retweet to get us some votes. It didn't really seem to.
But hey, you know, this is something we're going to be doing each year, and I think we also plan on doing some more contests and stuff like that, like this, as the year goes on, periodically. I think that'll be a lot of fun, just because it's fun to see the results.
It is fun.
Of course, I took the easy one and did this pop culture one. But anyway, this in round three, we actually had 14 votes come in for this.
Boo.
Yeah, I know, which is three less than we got the previous one, guys. Come on, step it up. I think I just checked today and we had 9, so I'm gonna start posting again tomorrow and
yeah, and if you're listening to this, please go get the word out.
Yeah,
and you vote too, but get the word out.
Yeah, vote there. Go confessionsofthemoviesnob.com. Retweet it. You know, tell all your friends to go vote.
Take out an ad in the New York Times front page.
Exactly.
I mean, get us some votes.
Get us an ad in Variety.
Yeah.
But anyway, round three, the first match we had was Buffoon versus Buffoon, was Kikuchiyo versus Ash.
I go with Ash.
It was almost unanimous. This is the biggest percentage-wise landslide in this one, 13-1 Ash. So Ash easily...
Did you vote for Kikuchiyo?
No, I didn't. I voted for Ash.
So somebody else.
Somebody else voted for Kikuchiyo.
We've had some people on the show before that might have voted that love the fuck out of some Seven Samurai.
Yep,
so.
Yep. I don't take the names of people who votes. They don't have to put that in. So
yeah, I know.
That's fine. But Ash moves on to round four.
Unfortunately, that's a... easy choice, but it's a sad easy choice.
Yes, but you know, Kikuchiyo, he went much farther than I expected him to go.
Yeah,
in round
three. I'm pleased.
You know, I didn't expect him to keep going. Honestly, he defeated Alice, which makes me happy.
Yeah, fuck so, Alice.
Yeah, fuck Alice. Fuck the Resident Evil movies. Yeah. Kikuchiyo easily kicks at that ass.
Should do it on an accident, but that's dead is dead.
Mm-hmm. And the next match was another entirely appropriate one. Was Hannibal Lecter versus Dirty Harry Callahan.
Dirty Harry all the way.
And like we put it last week, you know, it's like, yeah, Hannibal Lecter's all cool, but I don't think Callahan's going to put up with his shit. And if he gets a shot, Lecter's going down. And Lecter's an old man. He's not so spry. Harry's going to blow his fucking head off.
Man, Edward Norton caught him and put him in jail, for God's sake.
I know,
so,
exactly.
Fuck.
But Harry Callahan wins it 10-4. So not as wide a margin, but Harry Callahan moves on to round four. And then we get into Jack Burton versus Riddick.
Jack Burton all the way. Fuck Riddick, fuck Riddick, fuck Riddick.
I think Aaron doesn't like Riddick. Riddick, of course, has made it three rounds.
It's because he took out
Hans Gruber.
Fuck everyone else. He took out Hans Gruber.
And of course, for me, Jack Burton took out RoboCop, my personal fave. So this is another one, same margin as Callahan. It's 10-4 for Jack Burton.
About fucking time.
So Jack Burton takes out Riddick. Like I said, I think Jack Burton fails into success at this point and beats Riddick.
Good. Fuck you, Riddick.
So, trips over his own feet, falls into Riddick and shoves him off a, building and he dies.
Yeah.
And then the last one, which we got a big fuck you from John over in the Bagman Boardcast for having to decide between Indiana Jones and the Man with No Name.
Ugh. That's such a hard but easy to make choice.
It is.
It's all indie all the way.
You know, when I started coming up with this list, the first name that came to mind was Indiana Jones. And Indiana Jones takes it 9-5.
Damn. So, I don't know. I'd have to re-listen to our show, but I don't know if I've gone so far as to say it, but I'm going to call it now, and I don't know if I've said it before, but I do think the final two is going to come down to Ash and Indy.
Well, I shot those into a randomizer, as usual, so we got our two matches here in round four.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I did not doctor this. I did not do anything.
You never do.
First match is Ash versus Harry Callahan. Second match is Indiana Jones versus Jack Burton. So I think our way to an Ash versus Indiana Jones final round five championship.
Who do we got left?
Ash versus Harry Callahan.
Okay.
And then Indiana Jones versus Jack Burton.
We got three Ruthaus nominees and one, or I'm sorry, three Ruthaus winners and one nominee.
Which just solidifies why Harrison Ford needs to win Ruthaus again. Win Ruthaus this time.
Yeah.
Because this is entirely why he is at this level of awesome.
It's fucking Indiana Jones all the way. We don't have any Deckard. We don't have any Han Solo.
No.
And those are some pretty fucking cool characters.
You know, Deckard is on the list in the pool, but he didn't make it in.
He didn't get randomized.
So, you know, Ash, Harry Callahan, I'm going Ash. And then Indiana Jones, Jack Burton, I got to go Indy. Because I want to see Ash and Indy duking it out in that last one.
Yeah, we need to get... I want to see that photo.
Yes. I'm trying to get this our artist buddy of mine to this artist person I know to make up a picture for it.
That'd
I don't know if it'll happen.
So cool.
So yeah, go to confessionsofamoviesnob.com, vote for
how many times can they vote? Just once?
You can vote as many times as you want, but I'm only counting your vote once.
Well, okay.
So
maybe I should start voting then, since nobody else is fucking voting.
Go right ahead.
I like the idea. Whole idea. This isn't my fault.
Yes, this isn't your fault.
This isn't my fault. You know, I'm one of the only people in the world that you cannot blame this on, because I'm aware of it, but I'm not voting because I'm there to break the tie in case it needs to be.
Yeah, we've had some close ones, but no ties yet. So
I don't know if it comes down to Indy versus Ash. I don't know where I'm going on that.
That's going to be rough. That's going to be a hard one. Oh, that's going to be a really hard one. But even now, standing where it's at, it's kind of rough.
I'm sorry.
Dirty Harry and Indiana Jones with Jack Burton.
No, that's like Indiana Jones versus Jack Burton. There's no question in my mind on that
one. It's Indiana Jones.
Yeah, but then you got Ash versus Harry.
Dirty Harry. That's rough.
Yeah, that is rough, but I go Ash.
I'm going to say, though.
But what's funny is if
Indy goes all the way, how the fuck can you not be voting for Harrison Ford for Ruth Oz?
I don't know. If he comes this far.
Hey, you know, come on.
I don't see Bill Murray in here. Nope. I don't see Nathan Fillion.
Mm-mm.
I don't see...
Well, Nathan Fillion needs to do a movie role that's not tied to TV.
Truth. Truth. He could have done...
I mean, we could put the sheriff he played in Slither on here, but that really doesn't work.
Gross. I guess we can't do what's his face?
Mal from Serenity, because he originated on TV. Yeah. That's part of the rules. Sorry, guys. Sorry.
Maybe we can get him for that Green Lantern. Guess, you know. Hey, you got Speedy on your shirt.
I do.
I just looked
actually he's Red Arrow in this.
Really. Oh, well, same thing.
Yeah. So, go to confessionsofamoviesnob.com and vote. It'll take you 5 seconds to do this.
Yeah, this time.
Go to the website, scroll down to the big, giant vote button, click on it, and vote. It'll take you 5 seconds to go, you know, whoever you want to go for. But it will also take you only, like, 5 seconds to go to the website and vote for the newest Ruth Oz nomination. Less than 5 seconds, where you go, you click Harrison Ford and click
or
vote.
Or who you want to click on.
You click Harrison Ford and click vote, and you're done. That's all you need to do.
Oh, wow.
I'm going to continue campaigning for him, for Harrison Ford, because Harrison Ford is clearly the one who needs to win this.
Mm-hmm. Wow. I don't know what we're doing next week. Whatever it is, it's going to be cool.
Yes.
Because it's always cool.
Because we're cool.
We're kind of cool.
We have a podcast there.
We have a podcast. Cool. Hey, we have the same soundboard as they were using in Comic Book Men. Did you notice that?
I did not notice that.
Yes.
Nice.
So we have the same comic book board. Same soundboard as Millionaires. How cool is that?
Sweet.
So, yeah. But until next week, and yeah, go vote. Vote for this shit. Make the right pick. Actually, right now, I'm not going to say upset, but out of the four left, if Jack Burton won, that'd be my last choice out of the four.
Yeah, I don't think I'd be upset if any of these guys won.
I would be a little bit upset if Jack Burton won, because he's just not as cool as Indy or Dirty Harry or Ash. So, sure.
And it is amusing to look at the list and see how same actors pop up, because he's also on there as Snake Plissken, you know. So,
and then you had Dirty Harry.
Dirty Harry, Man with No Name.
Did William Money make it?
No.
Bill
Money?
Yeah, Bill Money.
Maybe.
I think he's on the list. I don't know if he actually made it into the...
I don't remember.
I don't know. I mean, that motherfucker, he might actually beat Ash in a...
Mm-hmm.
He's pretty cool.
Yeah. No, I think he is on the list.
I think he's on the list. I don't think he might have been added.
There's almost 70 people on the list now.
We can get 700.
And I thought of another one I need to put on there. It's Leon the Professional. So
there you go.
We also... I'm trying to think of a good Gary Oldman to put on there that's not tied to literature or comic books or something. So
how about...
We already got Corbin Dallas from Fifth Element. So.
Fuck Corbin Dallas. Get him off of there and
get... Well, then we don't have Bruce Willis on there.
What's his name? Jean-Baptiste Emmanuel Zorg. Or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. My other thought is the bad guy he played in... wasn't he the bad guy in True Romance?
He wasn't the bad guy. He was a bad guy. Okay. He was Drexel. He was the black guy, or the white guy that thought he was black.
We could do the bad guy he played in Air Force One, I suppose. But
yeah.
I don't know. I'd like to get Gary Oldman on.
But what was his big big loud line in that? Or he screamed something.
Crickets. I don't remember. I remember Get Off My Plane.
Yeah, I remember. That's like one of the best lines in movie history. Spoken by whom?
Harrison Ford. Who you need to go vote for right now on confessionsofamoviesnob.com. Anyway.
I don't know. What about Jim Gordon? No, that's a comic book, goddamn.
Yeah, now, see?
Son of a bitch.
And we can't do Sirius Black.
How about Beethoven?
How about Beethoven from Mortal Beloved?
Yeah,
we're not. See, I'd say Dracula, but can't do that.
There's a book there. Yeah. Trying to think. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I say kick Corbin Dallas off. Fuck Bruce Willis. I like Gary Oldman way better.
Sorry, man. I guess he's just going to have to keep doing cool movies.
He doesn't need to do anything to impress us.
That's true. That's true.
So I think that's the end of our podcast.
I think that is.
So,
for now.
Yeah. But until next week, I'm Aaron.
And I'm Ethan.
And stuff.
And good. Reverse the polarity of the neutron flow.
Yes, reverse the polarity of the neutron flow. Bong.
Aaron, I don't know if you listen to this or not, but I'm saying hello. Balls.